Thank you, Ryan. Hi, everybody. It's Bill F. It's Wendy Snyder on WGN. I think I'm working in a sick ward today.
Yeah,
everybody around me is sick. You're sick. Kevin is sick. Kevin's going home. He's that sick.
He's a baby. I'm sticking it out.
Yeah.
I can't wait to see Ro come in after you and use the same microphone.
I have been, listen, I wash my hands in between shows.
Sure, you have to.
And
all the grime that
filthy
we deal with.
Filthy. Yeah. How can it be filthy?
You mean just from being in here?
Yeah. For 2 hours, I go wash my hands and it's like.
I take a chemical bath at the end of every show.
The Silkwood shower.
Yeah, Meryl Streep and I split the cost of a chemical shower, so we take that at the end of every shift.
I'm glad today's Karaoke Thursday, by the way.
Because why?
Wendy goes first.
Yes.
It'll be fun.
I'll be doing Ray Charles songs all day.
You sound a little scratchy.
Skies are blue.
Just a little scratchy. It's barely noticeable.
It's if it gets annoying, then I'll just be here and you do. I'll just write things out
and I'll save them. All right.
It's not even a cold. Every year at this time when the season changes.
It's allergies.
I know. And it, you know.
Do you know what you're allergic to?
You.
Is it me? Bill Ragweed Leff?
Are you molting or something at this time of year, Bill?
Yes. This is the season.
He looks like Pigpen from Peanuts. Big dust cloud.
I switched from Schroeder to Pigpen this time of year. So I bet that has something to do with
maybe
it.
Maybe it does. Every year between September and November.
It's not that big bouquet of pollen that I bought for you last week, is it?
Thank you for that, by the way.
You're welcome.
Happy anniversary. It said anonymous. I didn't know who it was from.
It's the 30th anniversary of you being in radio, so I got you a big bouquet of pollen. I hope you enjoy it.
Wow, you were in radio when you were zero? That's crazy.
Yesterday was my 30th anniversary.
Congratulations.
And my on-air audition at The Loop, and I did not sound like this.
No.
I sounded 10 years old.
Could have worked, though. I don't know.
Well, it worked for Patty Hayes for those years.
Yeah. And Nina Blackwood sounds great. Do you ever hear her on satellite radio?
Does she sound
MTV?
Just like this?
No, she did. I think Nina Blackwood is about 10 years older than us, but when you hear her, and she was one of the original MTV VJs for people who don't know, but she, I think thanks to Camel cigarettes, sounds like a lot older.
Does she really?
Yeah.
She sounds worse than I do right now.
Oh, yeah. Way worse. Like, and the other VJs sound the same.
Yeah.
Mark Alan Goodman Hunter. Sounds the same, and Alan Hunter sounds the same, but then she comes on, and it sounds like, with all due respect, the Crypt Keeper from HBO has got his own radio show. It's not pleasant. I get scared. Every time the radio's on, I get real scared.
Well, right, if you have a good song and it's cranked up and then her voice comes on.
Right. That was Scritti Politti from 1986. I get all scared.
Yeah, I had no voice last night.
None at all. You couldn't talk even a little bit.
No, I would go to talk and it would be like in a dream when you go to scream and nothing comes out.
Yeah.
So I'm just going to keep lubricating. I have my Ricola, hopefully.
You have to sing it. You can't say it.
I was wondering why aisle 14 of Walgreens was sitting next to you.
I know. It's just that time of year. And Kevin, you're sick too? I don't know who sounds
worse. Kevin sounds awful.
I feel great.
Listen to that. And that's the perkiest he has sounded all day. And he's getting married in 29 days, Kevin?
Something like that, yeah.
That totally happened to me. I never had allergies until my wedding year.
Yeah. Oh,
get it out now, you know?
I didn't get it out. And then the doctor had said, you know, you need to go on prednisone to get rid of this allergy. And I said, what are some of the side effects? Well, you could gain weight. And I said, I just lost 40 pounds on Weight Watchers for my wedding. I am not gaining weight.
Right.
So starting on my wedding, which is October 25th, 19 years ago, every time at this year. So maybe it's Jim I'm allergic to.
It could be. I'm going to say this, and I know it sounds strange, but I mean this. I think some people, and some people sound better when they have that rasp. Does that make sense at all?
Yeah, but
if it gets too
annoying, I got to go.
What can you do, right?
I can't be on the air.
Right.
Nobody wants to listen to this.
Trying to think of what you could possibly do. Is there a synthesizer we can hook up to the microphone that'll make you sound less raspy? They must have that. They've got apps for everything. There's some way to process your voice so that you don't sound as raspy.
Well,
I bet there is.
Here's what we could
press a button or two. See what happens.
Okay.
No, that's just reverb.
Yeah, but I could whisper. And then we just do it like this.
This is creepy.
Yeah, it's not creepy at all. Yeah. Oh, my gosh, I'm in there, too.
Yeah, Ryan's in the basement,
Probably in
too.
The can. What the heck happened?
Yeah, this just sounds like we're in a drippy basement.
Yeah, this is a really bad reverb.
Permaseal wants to sponsor that, by the way. The before and after on that. Yeah, I'm not sure that's the right one.
Yeah, I don't know.
But there's got to be something. There has to be something.
I will lubricate.
Well, that's your business. Hey, you know what? When we come back, there's a commercial on that is so thought-provoking, and I don't know what they're doing. I'll tell you what it is in a little bit, but I've seen it. Last night was the fourth time I've seen it, and each time I see it, I understand it less, but I can't stop thinking about it.
All right.
All right? And I think that's the sign of a good commercial, because I even know the product. Like, a lot of times you see these and you go, yeah, that was great. It was a giant butterfly riding a motorcycle, but I don't know what company it
right.
was. But I know what this is.
So it's doing its job.
It is doing its job. So I'll explain exactly what I'm talking about next. It's Bill Leff and it's Wendy Snyder on WGN.
That was perfect,
this
Kevin.
This is the Itchy and Scratchy Show. Kevin's a little bit itchy. You're a little bit scratchy. If Donnie and Marie ever want to do a remake of I'm a Little Bit Country, I'm a Little Bit Rock and Roll, I think it would fit you guys fine.
Somebody wants to know why Kevin and I are both sick.
Yeah, that is curious.
Because we work in close quarters.
Sure.
Someone suggested helium, that I should use helium.
That would sound
maybe
awesome.
That
would be great.
I would like to try that, actually.
All right, we'll get up a tank of helium and see if that doesn't fix the problem.
You got to be careful. I saw a guy like drop like pale white from sucking a helium
from
balloon.
From inhaling helium?
Yeah, yeah, like trying to be funny, and then he passed out.
Did he do it from a balloon?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah, helium can...
I wouldn't get a tank. Bill's trying to kill me.
No, I wouldn't do that.
A tank's too much, Bill.
Just a little bit of helium. Just a little bit. All right, we'll see if we can make that happen. I've got friends over at the Medina Circus.
Thank God.
See if they can send that over. All right, every once in a while, there's a commercial that comes on that I can't get out of my mind.
It's on television?
Yeah, it's on TV. Now, the last time this happened, it was the one for 1800 Tequila, where you had Ray Liotta in a bar staring down two guys that were having what Mr. Liotta, I guess, thought in his head was a
raspberry bubble.
Yeah. It was a drink non-becoming of a man in a bar, and Ray Liotta just stared at them until they changed the order and got themselves some tequila. And for some reason, every time that came on, I don't know if I was reading too much into it or not enough into it, but I couldn't let that commercial go because I thought, well, that if those guys want to sit there and have whatever...
Says a man who drinks a raspberry bubble.
I enjoy a fruity drink from time to time. I'm not afraid to admit that. But now I'm afraid that if I'm having one, no matter where I am, Ray Liotta may stare me down, and I don't want that. I don't need that.
Can I tell you, there are various reasons I wish I was rich. Mm-hmm. That's one of them. I wish I could get Ray Liotta to go to a place you were at drinking your raspberry bubble.
All right.
And just stare at you.
I wonder how I'd react to that. I don't know. All right. So now comes this commercial that I have now seen. I was watching the White Sox game last night, and it was on in the seventh or eighth inning. It's the fourth time I've seen this commercial. I can't figure out exactly what's going on in the commercial. Let me run it past you, please. It is a commercial for Volvo, for one of Volvo's cars, but I know for a fact it's Volvo. What you have here is four people riding in the Volvo. You have a woman driving who seems to be in her late 20s, maybe 30 years old, very attractive woman. You have a guy sitting next to her in the passenger seat who's looking at pictures on a camera while she's driving.
All right.
Behind her, you have a slightly older guy, around 50. Looks like the world's most interesting man. He has that very distinguished, he's a little bit tan and kind of ruddy looking. He's got a silvery white beard. He looks like he might cry. And then there's another guy sitting next to him who's just oblivious to everything. He's not paying attention to anything at all. They're riding in the car in silence, and it's like a coastal road. It's right alongside the sea. And the lady's driving and seems to be smiling, but also looking in the rearview mirror to see what's going on in the back. And she sees that the older guy looks very sentimental. And again, the guy next to him is just oblivious, doesn't care what's going on. And then the guy in the passenger seat just keeps flipping through pictures. In one of the pictures, it's her waving, the woman driving. In the next picture, it's the older guy behind it raising a glass of champagne as if to toast. And then she looks back again, and the old guy looks like he's going to cry. And he reaches around, and he just rubs her shoulder. And that's it. And I can't figure out, like in my head, here are the scenarios I've played out in my head. And I left out an important element. Right at the end, when he looks like he's going to cry, he reaches down and he has a gold ring in his hand that he just looks at, right? So in my head, two things have happened. One of two things have happened. She's gotten married recently to one of the other two guys, and he was raising a toast at her wedding. But I don't know why he has the gold ring.
Because either was there a husband-like figure in the car?
I think the older guy in the back was somebody's husband, but
I think that's
her
father.
I think that's her father, too.
And maybe her husband died.
Oh, man.
And
but
the
is
Volvo
that a good way to sell a
happy.
Car? I don't know if that's a great way to sell a car. The other scenario is I keep thinking maybe his wife died.
Yes, that could be.
But are they driving to her service? Is she having some sort of a memorial?
Yeah.
And again, if that's the case, does that make me go, well, I got to get myself a Volvo because...
Well, you got to get there safely. You got to get to the funeral.
Did she die in a car accident?
No, that's not a good way to sell a Volvo.
I can't figure out what's going on in it. And last night I stopped it. You know how you can do that on your DVR? You can stop it and watch it again. So I watched it a second time. So now I've seen it five times. And I was more confused the next time I saw it.
You're not the only one. Carol, that commercial is driving you nuts too, isn't it?
I nearly contacted Volvo just to ask them. I there's absolutely no sense. I mean,
there isn't, is there?
Say about it.
But isn't it brilliant? Because then I'm laying in bed last night trying to figure out the relationship between the four, why he's so sad, why she's so happy, why he's holding the ring. It's brilliant.
Yeah, I don't know. At first I thought that maybe he was her husband.
Yeah.
Or something like that. At one point, I think he puts his hand on her shoulder.
Yes, at the end, he comforts her a little bit. He rubs her shoulder at the end.
Yeah, I didn't know. I thought maybe that was an act of affection.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, I didn't know if it was romantic or otherwise. I'm not sure. But no, I don't see that. If anything, it makes me so mad that I would probably buy any brand of car before I buy a Volvo just because they made me so angry.
Now, doesn't it make you wonder, though, every once in a while they'll do a commercial where it's a series of commercials. Like, maybe we don't know the whole story. I'm hoping that's the case.
Well, that could be, except this commercial has been on, like, forever.
Oh, has it been?
Yeah, it's been on a really long time, and you're right. Every time I see it, sometimes they show the person with the photos, and sometimes they don't.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah, and all I know is that if they're going to have a series, they generally don't. They run like 1 or 2 weeks
between
episodes.
Yes.
Because otherwise you're going to make your viewers insane.
Wait, this is a new series? There are more episodes of this?
That's what I'm wondering, is if maybe this is part one of some bigger story. But as Carol just pointed out, this one has been running for a while. I saw it for the first time about 2 weeks ago, so it's new to me.
Oh, no, it's been way longer than that.
All right.
Well, Carol, we will get to the bottom of this by the end of the day, I'm sure.
I hope so.
I'm telling you, you cannot go off the air until you get an answer that I believe.
Oh. That's fair.
Thank you, Carol. Glenn may have an answer. I don't know. Glenn, what do you think?
Yes. Hi, guys. Wendy, Glenn Snyder, no relation.
Oh.
Hi, Glenn Snyder.
No relation.
How are you? Here's my thought. My wife and I discussed this several times because when I first started watching it,
yeah,
it was the first commercial in a long time that I actually kept watching intently.
Right.
We've decided that all those scenarios that you guys just had on are what the Volvo ad people wanted you to think.
Mm.
And you're continuously then talking about Volvo, but it's subconsciously in your mind because you're talking about what they scripted out for you.
Mm.
That's our thought.
So they're saying, Volvo's saying, make up your own storyline. We gave you all the parts. You put them together. Right? It should have been an IKEA ad, because that makes more sense.
I know. It took me about 4 or 5 times seeing it to come to that conclusion. And my wife, with her input, we said, that's got to be it. Hopefully we'll know in the future.
I hope so.
Right.
I hope you're right.
Because I'm losing sleep.
It sure sounds like it.
I love the ad. And it's brilliant to say to you,
yeah,
hey, we put everything together, but we don't know what it means. You figure that out. It's brilliant.
Right.
Well, thanks, Glenn.
Love your show.
Thank you,
sir. Have a great day.
Thank you.
Thanks, Glenn Snyder. I appreciate it.
No relation.
This has come up because people are discussing it on The Straight Dope.
Oh, are they? Yeah.
Is it Cecil Adams?
It is. Yeah, that's
remember?
The guy. Yeah, we've had him on.
And people are discussing it like they don't get it. The father is in the back seat.
I think it's the father, but they're weird thing is they're close enough in age to where you say, no, that might be her husband.
Somebody's saying that's a husband and wife.
Yeah.
Wife driving, husband in the back seat.
Which is weird right off the bat. Wouldn't he sit next to her? He could be in the passenger
sometimes
seat.
Sometimes you
mix
vary.
It up a little. All
sometimes.
Right.
And the two boys are their sons,
mm-mm.
Brothers, no, maybe the driver's brothers.
Maybe.
They're saying that he's holding the ring like they just married off their daughter and he's remembering his wedding day.
She's too young to have a daughter of marrying age, I think. The driver seems to me to be... But even if... All right, let's say that that's true. Why do they have the ring? Are they on their way to a wedding? Because he's holding up his champagne glass as though he was already at some sort of ceremony.
He was at a wedding. They're on the way home. And maybe...
Did they steal the ring from their daughter?
No, he took it off his hand and maybe is thinking about his wife who passed away. And that's his daughter driving. I've seen it and I didn't
possibly.
Really pay attention to it. I just said, boy, I like that car.
It is such a puzzle. I'm so glad it's not just me. Because every time it's on now, I just stare at it going, there must be some clue that I've missed that explains who these four people are and why they're taking this journey and why some of them are happy and some are sad and some just don't care.
How about we'll figure that out by 3 o'clock?
All right, by 3 o'clock, we'll solve it.
Because we have Paul Reiser coming up next and maybe he knows
maybe
about
he
it.
Knows the answer. All right, stick around. We've got news and then Paul Reiser joins us. A lot more show coming your way next. Bill and Wendy, WGN. I'm not sure you could be a much better comedian than Paul Reiser is. I don't think you can. Paul Reiser joins us right now. Paul, you're one of the best that's ever done stand-up, in my opinion. Wendy will fight me on it, but I think you're one of the best ever.
It's hard to argue when you make a sensible argument like that, I got to say, Bill. Thank you. You know, it's indecorous if I say it myself, but
right.
When you say it, it sounds like you know
what you're
saying.
You could nod in agreement, though, right?
I'm
why not? Yep. Yep. And you wrote that song we were just hearing. Your theme song for Mad About You, you wrote that, didn't you?
I wrote that for you, the American people, to enjoy at your leisure. Yes, mostly for the people in the Chicago area, I'll be honest. I mean, the other parts of the country, I got nothing against them, but it's mainly you.
Thank you for that.
I will not be talking much because I have a raspy voice today due to allergies.
I'm going to be honest. It's a little fetching.
Is it really?
I told you.
I know, that's what Bill said.
Wendy doesn't believe me, Paul, but it is, isn't it?
It's like a little Brenda Vaccaro thing you got
yes.
there.
Oh, great. I can be selling tampons later on in the
day.
Well,
let's stop right there. But there, you had me up to the tampon.
And Brenda Vaccaro right around the time she did Darth Vader's voice, right, Paul? Wouldn't you agree?
I'm sure there's a more current reference I could find for a wispy. Somebody, I was on a set once, and the director, after working with me for weeks, he said, do you have any references that are post-1947? Like, I would, like, you know, I would say, oh, that guy's like an Adolf Manju. I said, nobody knows who that is. He was an actor in 1937.
Sure.
You and Bill would get along perfectly.
Yeah. I love that. Come to my Hunts Hall birthday party next Wednesday.
Wow. Is that right? You have a Hunts Hall birthday?
Every year.
I'll be there with my little hat.
Excellent.
All right, who's Hunts Hall?
One of the Bowery boys.
Hello, Brenda. Brenda Vaccaro, come on.
I feel so bad for Brenda Vaccaro during that commercial because she would breathe and it made kind of a raspy noise.
Yeah.
And then that television commercial, they edited out her breaths.
Right.
It was really...
Her breath or her breast?
Her breath.
Oh, okay. You don't want to throw out the baby with the bathwater.
No, you sure don't.
So, okay.
All right.
You're doing very well, Wendy. Don't kid yourself.
All right. Well, thank you.
I'm a quiet girl. You're doing very well.
I'm so not a quiet girl.
Tell the people why we're even chatting.
Well, you're
tell
coming
them how
to
much
town.
I love Chicago.
You are going to be at the City Winery next Friday, right? A week from Friday, September 2nd.
Yep.
Two shows. Two shows, 7:30 and 10.
I figure between the two, I'll get most of the jokes right. I can't say which show will be better. You got to take a chance.
And, Paul, you're doing your salute to Ray Bolger that you've toured with for years.
I'll be doing my Ray Bolger, yes, and my Hermina Gingold method.
Oh, that's even better.
This should really tap in the young crowd, don't you think?
Seriously, everybody's Googling and listening.
Nothing worse. Nothing, you know, could be worse than having to Google and find out who these names are.
Yep.
But yes, so, and I have not played the City Winery. I understand it's a great, fun, it's a nice, intimate room.
It is awesome.
Terrific.
You're going to love it.
They have
lights and a microphone, because that's all I need.
I don't know that they have lights or a microphone. But
not
it
at
is
the same time.
No, but it's still a nice place.
Well, this will be challenging.
Do you enjoy it? I know you've been doing stand-up a good long time, but when you take to the stage, it's still a thrill, isn't it?
Yeah. You know, the truth is, I think I've talked about this before. I took a long time off. I took from when Mad About You started in the 90s, I just got tied up, and I didn't go out and perform. And then when the show was over, I was just out of the habit. And when I looked up a couple of years ago, I realized it had been 20 years.
Wow.
I was out doing it. And but it was funny. It was like, you know, coming right back to it. It wasn't that easy. I mean, it's like, you know, you can't just call on a muscle that's been atrophied for 20 years and expect it to be firing.
Yeah.
But the joy of it was immediate. Oh, my gosh, I forgot how much I love it. Yeah, to me, if I had to give up anything, I'd give up everything. This is the fun part.
Oh.
And I had forgotten. It really is. It really is it's, you know, what I love about it is you're actually seeing live people. You're making them laugh.
Yeah.
It's a live thing. It breathes. The audience changes it for you. You change every night. And there's no middleman. It's not like with a TV or movie where you have to go sell it to a studio and then you have 14 people involved and it does, you know, in giving you ideas and it takes years sometimes
from
idea until it comes to fruition. But here, you think of a joke at 7 o'clock, you tell the people at 8 o'clock. No fuss, no muss.
So immediate. And what about this though? You're a very different person. If 20 years go through your life, you're taken to the stage as a completely different human being than the first time around.
Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah. But you know what? I'm surprised when I've come across a clip of me 25 years ago, 30, and I go, you know, I was already the same. My interests have always been on the same path, and my style has sort of been the same. But you do come to it differently. First of all, you know, so much life happens between, you know, your 30s and your 50s, and so not only there's more to talk about, but at this point, the audiences know me. I know, and I feel like I know them. It's like getting together with old friends.
Sure,
it's like there's a relationship. So you're not having to. It's not about coming out and trying to prove yourself. It's coming out and go, hey, I know these people. How you doing? And we have. It's really been fun.
And you've got a lot of other projects you're working on too. You're pretty busy, you know.
I've been busy, but never too busy to stop and swing by Chicago.
Well, you're
on the way.
It is on the way.
It'd
be silly not to come in for a few minutes.
It'd be crazy. It'd be rude.
It'd
be rude to not stop in and say hello.
Yesterday during our lunch break, just in honor of you being on the show today, our producer Kevin was eating his lunch, and Bill looked at him and said, are you going to finish that? A little tribute to you and your diner days.
Yep.
Very nice. You know, it's a very interesting thing when people remind you of these lovely tributes. And very often, I don't know what they're talking about. I, for years, somebody would come over to me and say, hey, that's not my locker. I go, I don't know what you said. They go, that's not my locker. I go, okay, this guy's out. They go, no, you said that in Beverly Hills Cop. I go, okay, you know what? That was 35 years ago. I didn't remember that I said that. And
Paul, what do you think? Barry Levinson's one of our finest directors. What do you think he saw in you? Because when he cast you as Modell in Diner, you didn't have that much of a resume in terms of acting.
I had no resume. That was my first job.
So what did he see in you?
I think the first thing he saw was cheap.
Money saving?
Yeah, he could get me.
Oh.
You know, when you've done nothing, it's hard to demand. I think he had, I know in Diner, he had five main guys, and he had it in his mind that there was going to be a sixth guy. And he didn't, I don't think he knew exactly what it was. But I don't know. I just wanted, I guess, somebody to be funny and neurotic in the right way. And the irony was, I had a whole bunch of. He came to see my act after I met him and before he gave me the part. And I had at the time a whole bunch of stuff in my act about diners and coffee shops in New York and hanging out. And I went, oh, well, that was very fortunate.
So yes,
it's kind of. I don't know what, but it was. It worked out well. That was for a first job. It was hard. You can't beat that.
Do you think maybe the fact that he came from a world of stand-up, maybe he identified a little bit more with you than the other actors?
It's possible. You know, he is. We got together recently in New York. He's just a very really funny guy. I mean, and he remembers. He was telling stories about his early days, and you know, it's 40 years now, and like, how do you remember all that stuff? But he was really funny, and yeah, he definitely has a comic sensibility and an observational eye that he'll pick up on something that that most people wouldn't.
I always thought, and Diner's one of my all-time favorite movies, but I always thought that that character that you played in there, Modell, is one of those characters that everybody knows. You can't not know that guy.
That's funny. Yeah, there's always, that was, you know, it was funny because all that stuff that was made it into the film was entirely improvised. There was nothing really. I had very little in the script, and so all that stuff, you know, he would just say, "Well, just, you know, play," there's a thing where everybody's leaving the diner in the middle of, you know, whatever, 2 a.m, and everybody's got a car and I don't. And he didn't tell me what to do, but I kind of was standing there going, well, I don't know what I do here. Maybe I'll get a ride with this guy. And I just started, wait, can I go with you? And he, you know, but I didn't want to impose. And he goes, well, do you want a ride? I go, well, if you go. And so I suddenly, he said, we're going to keep that. I went, what do you mean keep that? That's the stupidest thing anybody's ever said. That's not a movie.
But it's real.
Yeah, it was.
That is a great movie.
But I grew up with that. That was my family. I mean, nobody would say things directly. It was somehow considered rude to be make a specific request. So everything was always, that's how I grew up. Everything was buffered with a conditional, listen, if it wouldn't be a big problem, if you don't mind, could you take this piano off my chest? if you're up.
Right,
up.
I don't want to bother you.
We'll make a separate trip.
Paul Reiser is our guest, comedian, actor, writer, producer, and a whole lot more. He's appearing at the City Winery Friday, September the 2nd. Two shows, 7:30 and 10:30. Go to citywinery.com or call them at 312-733-9463. We'll talk more with Paul next. Stick around. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
Hey, hey, Paula. I want to marry you. Hey, hey, Paula. No one else could ever do.
Paul Reiser joins us right now. One of our finest comics of all time. Actor, writer, producer, Paul Reiser. He's been called our generation's Randolph Scott.
You know what? Couldn't be prouder.
Paul, we played that song for a very good reason. Your wife's name is Paula. Was that odd when your courtship was going on?
I tried to get her to change it to Debbie. She would not. It's funny. Yes, that Paul and Paula, people find that very entertaining.
It is.
We have long since stopped finding it entertaining.
when we were
actually just dating, and I did not know that song, and I don't know, I can't remember now if it was she sent me flowers or I sent her flowers or something, and the person in the flower store said, oh, I like the song, and then we went, what song? I went, oh, we're gonna, you know what, we'll send it to you. So in the flowers came the 45 of Hey Paul, Paul and Paula.
How about
that's
that? The song was Paul and Paula, and the artists, I believe, were Paul and Paula.
Yes, they were.
That was the extent of their imagination.
At least it's better, because, Bill, you dated a girl who had your mom's name, and that was a deal breaker.
Yeah,
from
I couldn't
the start.
You dated a girl named Mom?
Yeah, yes, isn't that
isn't
weird?
That weird?
Wow, that's crazy.
And when he turned her over, it was wow.
Wow. Good for you. Look at Brenda Vaccaro coming
yeah,
in.
Yeah. I really can't talk. I'm normally not this quiet.
No.
I'm really not. All right, so 30 years for Aliens. You were a great bad guy in that.
They just had a big big reunion at Comic-Con.
Yeah.
Everybody was there, and it was great fun. And, of course, the little girl from Aliens is now 73 years old. She's not lovely, but I guess she would be like, 40 or 38 or 9. And she's a school teacher in here in Northern California, and it's so funny to see people, this little girl, and she was an American, but she happened to be living in London where we shot the movie, and she happened to be there, and somebody happened to see her, and she never wanted to be an actress, but somebody thought she was the right look, and she went, all right, I'll be in this silly
movie.
Oh, she
was great.
Yeah, she was terrific. I'd never acted before or since.
That was it.
Wow, one and done.
Yeah.
Paul, actors always say it's so much more fun to play a villain. You were a pretty bad guy in Aliens. Was it more fun for you to play a bad guy?
Well, you say villain. I say he's just misunderstood.
Right, he was.
Of course you would say
he
that.
He was misunderstood.
Yeah, I don't get what the fuss was about. Sometimes accidents happen on the workplace. And, you know, it's just part of the cost of doing business. So you say evil, I got to take
umbrage?
Umbrage is the word.
Oh,
umbrage is the word that Randolph Scott would have used. Umbrage.
It was.
Hubris.
Right. I was waiting for you when you were in Aliens to at some point turn to one of the members, to turn to Ripley and go, are you going to finish that sandwich? That would have been the funniest thing.
Yeah, or I certainly could have gotten a locker joke in there.
Right. Without a doubt.
A locker. Yeah.
All right, so the 30th reunion I saw on your Twitter page, everybody looks fantastic, and you look really great with gray hair. Can I just say that?
Well, I got no choice. It just, that's what's coming in.
You look so handsome. You
You're
really
very
do.
You're kind. But, you know what's interesting now? I get a haircut, and it used to be, you know, you look down at the smock when the hair's coming down. You go, oh, look, there's a gray hair.
Yeah.
Well, a couple of gray hairs. Now it's nothing but. I'm going, what? Are you cutting my grandfather up there? What's happening? All I see coming down is gray, 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 gray. Somebody asked me, when I do show, a lot of times at the end of a show, I'll do a Q&A with the audience. And last time somebody asked me, do you dye your hair? I went, yeah, I do. I dye it gray. And what I also do is I pull out clumps in random spots.
Yeah.
Because I just don't want regular guys to feel bad that I have such a thick head of lush.
You're so caring for other
yeah.
people.
That's so nice
of
you.
I try and downgrade it for myself.
When you do that Q&A, how many people ask if there's ever going to be a Mad About You reunion?
They do ask. They ask. But, you know, we put them out on DVD, and they just came out with a full box set, so you can watch the old ones. Why do they have to bother us to make more? Just finish one. When you finish those, then we'll talk.
You know what I thought was one of the best things you guys did? And you did so many great things on the show, but it was the arc where you brought Carl Reiner in to reprise his role, to reprise his Alan Brady, role.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was a fun one. And he said he had never done a show. You know, he'd been asked all the time, and nothing appealed to him until we came up with that idea. It was interesting thing because Mad About You was certainly standing on the shoulders of the Dick Van Dyke Show as
yep.
as a comedy, and you know we all grew up loving and the more the older I got, the more I've come to respect that show because it was just so good and timeless. But it was, you know, they were a young couple. It's like you forget when you're a kid, you go like they're old people.
Yeah.
Now I go, oh, Rob and Laura Petrie were maybe late 20s.
Yeah, right. How about that?
Yeah, but so that was certainly a thrill. To have Carl Reiner, we had. I am constantly reminded, and I sort of have to pinch myself when I realize when I look back and realize the guests that we had. You know, when we were doing it, we really got all our idols, people that we grew up idolizing. Mel Brooks was my idol. We had Sid Caesar. We had Jerry Lewis. We had. And then just an odd amalgam. We had Cyndi Lauper and Lyle Lovett and Yoko Ono, and we had Garth Brooks did a cameo once, which I totally had forgotten about, and somebody reminded me about it. Like we were, you know, and that's one of the best perks of when you're doing a show and you get to work with people that
you idolize,
inspire you, and idolize. Oh. Yeah,
you existed not just in. The Dick Van Dyke Show universe, but you existed in the Seinfeld universe and you existed in the Friends universe because characters went back and forth. That's brilliant.
Yeah, true. Well, we had Lisa Kudrow before she did Friends.
Yeah.
And she played like in the early first couple of shows of Mad About You, we did a flashback to my single days and she was a blind date that I went out with and she was it was a terrible date, and she was just so. But Lisa Kudrow was so funny, and
was that
it was just a one-time thing. And we said we got to bring that girl back. She's just fantastic, and so we wrote her the part as this airheaded waitress, and she had such a fresh timing. She just has sort of just slips off to the side of the road and derails whatever rhythm you're on. It's so funny.
She's really
great. I remember every time I see her, we talk about it. I remember. She said, I got to leave early today. I have an audition, some new show. So what's, I guess, six friends in New York, and they all have, I said, well, that's not going to go. That doesn't
right.
sound like anything you're going to want to be on. And then she ended up, I guess, creating her evil twin.
Yeah,
that's what it
Phoebe.
Was.
Phoebe,
yeah.
All right, so we started out the little interview with your song that you did for Mad About You. You getting back to music anytime soon?
I did a couple of years ago a fun little project. We did an album with a great singer named Julia Fortum, who I was a fan of and then got to know. And we started playing with some music and ended up, by accident, saying, well, I think we have a record here. Let's just put it out. And over 14 people bought it. So that was that was very exciting. But that was fun. But other than that, I sit and I play for my own amusement. But no, I don't have any secret wishes to be a rock and roll icon.
Not yet, anyway.
Not yet.
Well, who knows?
Give it time, Paul.
I'm waiting for the Adolf Manjou crowd to...
Here we go.
Go see Paul Reiser. He's performing at the City Winery Friday, September the 2nd. There's two shows, a 7:30 and a 10 p.m.
I'm so glad I called, by the way, because I didn't know the first show was 7:30.
No, it's a 7:30 start, Paul. You got to get there.
I would have been tardy had we not spoken.
No, you got to go. Be there on time. Go to citywinery.com. Paul is the last of the performing Von Trapp kids to be performing. You want to see him while you can.
Yeah.
Paul, an honor to talk to you, sir.
Hey,
thanks so much.
To you both.
So nice.
Thanks.
Right. Take care, Paul.
There,
I will.
That's Paul Reiser, everybody. He also has a website, paulreiser.com, so visit that. We'll be back after this. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
All right, it's Bill and Wendy here. I'm down in some tea. So
are you feeling a little better?
I feel fine.
It just sounds bad, huh? It sounds
just
a little raspy.
A little raspy.
Yeah, and it's seasonal allergies. We know this for a fact. That's what's causing this.
Every year at this time, this happens to me.
Yeah.
But I would like to share a feel-good story of the week for sure.
Yeah.
Maybe the month, maybe even the year.
Oh, that's serious. All right.
You know, you see these all these pay it forward things on Facebook and you go, wow, that's a lovely story.
Mm-hmm.
This actually happened to two friends from the neighborhood. Carrie and her husband, Tom, dropped off their first kid to college. So going through what you're doing.
Yeah. A little bit of sadness.
A little bit.
Yeah.
It's a boy, but still.
Sure. That still counts.
So they go out to have a little cocktail at a downtown restaurant in LaGrange.
Uh-huh.
And they're just sitting there talking and... there was a man sitting next to them, and when they went to pay their bill, this man had left. They were handed a note, and here's what the note says. I am in the middle of a particularly good run of fortune at the moment in my life, and I just felt compelled to pay it forward, have a great night, blessings to you, and picked up their tab.
Oh, that's very nice.
I've never done anything like that for someone, and I want to do something nice.
What does it say what transpired between this couple? Like, did he just pick a couple at random? Was he overhearing their conversation?
No, they don't know. They just said a gentleman was having dinner next to us. When we went to check out, we were given this note addressed to the couple at the bar by the kind gentleman.
Yeah.
And that's what it said.
Well, that's very nice.
So I hope that inspires someone to pay it forward. Have you ever done anything like that?
Here's what it reminds me of, and I wish I could take credit for this, but this was a friend of mine. When tolls used to be 40 cents, he always enjoyed going. He would pay his own toll, and then he would also pay for the car behind him because it cost him 40 cents. And he said it was just worth it to see the face. You know, after he would pull through the toll booth, he would, through the rearview mirror, kind of watch the action as it was explained to the next driver that their toll had been paid by the guy in front, because you just saw a look of, well, why would they do that?
Yeah, they put their hands up. Like, what?
Doesn't make sense that somebody would. It's just 40 cents. It's not that huge of a deal, but it made somebody happy. But he used to do that all the time, you know, 40 cents here, 40 cents there. And he said, it was so worth it just to see that exuberance and always mystery. Why would they do that for me? It doesn't make sense.
And that was long ago.
Yeah, I wouldn't do that now. What, it's $1.50? I wouldn't do that now. It's way too much money. You go bankrupt.
If you're at a drive-thru or something and you say you want to pay for the car behind you,
right.
You don't know what they're ordering. How do you do that?
Right. Just apply some of the money. Go, here's $1.07.
No.
Take this off their bill and tell them it's from me. And if they want to call me, here's my number. If they want to thank me or send me a bouquet of something, here's my information.
Yeah, I want to do something, but I don't know what to do. I give money to people that are outside.
People asking for money, right? You would give money to them.
Typically, I don't like to give it when they ask.
Yeah.
I don't.
Right.
I like
it's expected.
Yeah. I like to just kind of surprise somebody and do it, but...
This will show you once and for all how nice this can be. I still remember to this day. Now, keep in mind, at the time of the story, I couldn't have been more than 7 or 8 years old. And we went into the Osco Drugs near my house, and baseball cards at the time were 10 cents, 10 cards for 10 cents. And I got a handful of packs of cards. I don't know how many my hands would hold, but let's say there were 8 or 9 or 10 packs. And then I got up to the front, and I didn't have enough money. I wasn't figuring tax or something.
Right.
So I was only short about 17 or 18 cents, but I didn't have it on me. And the lady behind me said, what does he owe? And the cashier said, and she goes, well, I've got it, like that. And I said, no, you don't have to do it. My mom's in the car. I can run out. And she goes, that's silly. It's just 17
cents. Plus, she didn't want to wait.
Right. Maybe that's what it came down to. But she picked up the tab for the rest of the cards. And, I mean, keep in mind, this is 40-something years ago. I still think, I wish I knew who that lady was so I could return the favor, because that was so nice.
Maybe she'll call today, 312-981-7200.
I have your 17 cents on me if you want your money back.
Someone has texted as for something to do to pay it forward, buy flowers at the grocery store and present them to the person behind you.
Oh, that's a nice gesture.
What if they have allergies?
Oh, that's not a nice gesture. You could kill that person.
You could.
What if that person is married and you gave them flowers and then they come home with the flowers and their spouse is like, oh, what's going on now that I don't know about all these flowers? I blame it on Kevin, our producer. Kevin gave them to me with a note, with a love note, a mushy one.
Jeez.
Throw in the detail. It makes it more believable.
630 says at Aldi, I always give my cart to the next person without asking for the quarter.
That's
admirable.
That's a start. I don't know if that's great, but it's a start. I've done that at the airport. You know when you get that thing that brings your luggage from the
cart?
Yeah. It's that
thing?
Big honking
metal cart.
Yeah, it's shaped like
luggage
a cart.
Cart.
What do you call those carts?
A cart.
Are they carts? Yeah, instead of putting it back through the line of carts where it costs you a couple of bucks to get one, I always make sure I give it to somebody who needs it. And now when O'Hare goes out of business, you can blame me for that. That's my fault.
All right, we have some people that want to give. I need some ideas how to pay it forward.
You want to help somebody. Do something nice for somebody.
312-981-7200. It's Bill Left, Wendy Snyder, 720 WGN. We're talking about paying it forward. My friends, Carrie and Tom, they're married, dropping their oldest of three kids off at college for the first time. They decided to go downtown LaGrange, have a couple glasses of wine. A gentleman was sitting there having dinner next to them. And when they went to check out, the note was given to him, and it says, I am in the middle of a particularly good run of fortune at this moment in my life, and I just felt compelled to pay it forward. Have a great night. Blessings to you.
I like the way he words it. I'm having a particularly good run of fortune. It just sounds like something mystical, doesn't it?
It does.
Like he's a leprechaun from another dimension or something. I love the way he worded it.
Well, I wanted to know, I mean, there are ways to pay it forward. I just try and be nice to people.
Sure.
But Cheryl, do you have any ideas? What happened with you?
Well, it happened to me a couple times that I paid it forward. Last year around homecoming, we were out to dinner, and my husband and I were out to dinner, and five couples came in, and they were going to homecoming, and they just looked like they could use some help. And so when my husband went to the restroom, I asked the waiter if he would just take $100 and put it towards their meals. And that way they each got $20 off their meal. And, I did it anonymously, but I just felt like they could use help. And we've all been young once and struggling. And so I just felt good about doing that.
That is so nice. Were you there when they got their bill and realized that there was you weren't there for that?
No. Wow. We left right before that, so I didn't get to see their faces, but I also didn't want them to know who did it.
Oh, that is so nice.
That is so nice, yeah. Cheryl. I hope somebody does something for you.
Well, then it happened to us. I'm from a really big family, and our one sister died, and several years ago, but there are nine of us left, and we all went down to Florida to visit my sister's old friends. And we were sitting there at a wine bar and just talking and having the best time. And somebody at the bar said, they heard our story, and they said, we want to pay for their dinner.
Oh,
that's incredible. I love stories like that.
I know. It just made me want to cry when somebody else did it for us.
Sure.
And, yet we had paid it forward not that long before that. And we've also paid for military people's meals a few times.
That's
awesome.
Very nice.
You're a good person, yeah. Cheryl.
Thank you.
Take care, Cheryl. It does kind of prove that there's balance in the universe, doesn't it?
Well, we have to take care of each other.
Yeah.
We really do. And I do remember just recently we stopped at a Portillo's and there was a guy in front of us by himself.
Yeah.
And he seemed a little unusual. He was talking about very weird things about... it wasn't God related, but it was religious related. And he was just talking to us and I just kind of smiled and said, yes, yes. And he kept talking and he was very, his clothes were dirty. He got up to the counter and ordered a hot dog and fries and a Coke.
Mm-hmm.
And he was staying up there for quite some time. So I'm thinking he doesn't have the money for this.
Yeah.
So he finally moved along to wait for his order. And I went up to the cashier and I said, Did that guy pay for his food? Because I would like to pay for it. And they were kind of snippy to me.
Were
and
they?
Said, yeah, he paid for it.
I'm like, sorry.
It didn't look like, I thought maybe he was saying, I'm good for it. I'll come back another day and pay
right,
you.
Right, right.
And I just thought I'd buy him lunch, but he had the money.
It was covered. Huh.
So I tried.
Yeah.
I just wasn't.
You still get credit.
I do?
Yeah, I've got a score sheet.
All right,
got points on that.
Mary, this happened to your daughter?
Yes, it did. She was driving to Florida last spring with her five children in the car. They were going to pick up my son-in-law in Atlanta, and unfortunately his plane got delayed, so she said, we're just going to keep on going. So they were having breakfast at an IHOP in Valdosta, and when she got up, she said to the waitress, can I have the bill? And she said, no, you see that man that just left? He just said, you deserved for him to pay this bill.
Oh.
So she was totally astounded. She just didn't know what to do. She said, oh, I would love to thank him. She said, no, he's gone, which was I thought was very, very nice. And
yeah.
She was just amazed.
Huh.
See, I don't need credit, but I would like to hide somewhere to see their reaction.
Sure.
Because that's got to be such a good feeling to see the pleasure you've given someone else.
Yeah, she was. Yeah, she was very pleased. She thought it was, you know, really nice because a lot of, as you said, Wendy, that doesn't happen a lot. But when it does, it really means an awful lot.
Absolutely. Mary, thank you for calling. We have time for one more. Deborah, you've been doing this for a while.
I have. I kind of adopted Oprah's theory of pay it forward many years ago, and I paid it forward back in 2006 when I reached out to a young man who went to my high school in the inner city of Minneapolis in poverty, and I life coached him for 2 years, and he is now today an Olympic coach and choreographer.
Wow.
Wow. Good
That's
work.
A turnaround. Good.
Thank you. Yeah, it's amazing. U.S. figure skating. His name is Roheem Ward, and he's amazing. But beyond that, that was kind of the beginning of me reaching out, paying it forward, and now I've kind of made it a habit when I go to like Walmart. I live in Lake County, Illinois, and it's kind of expensive, and people make a lot of money who live here, and my husband and I have done very well. Like I said, I came out of the inner city in poverty, so I'm very grateful for where I'm at, the education I have, the work I do, and I'll go to Walmart sometimes in, we'll just say northeast Lake County. I don't want to offend anyone.
Right, okay.
That's right.
And grab some groceries, some, you know, shelf stuff, and I'll be going through the grocery line. There was a woman there one day, and she was clearly on welfare, and she didn't have enough money on her card, her welfare debit card, and she was about $92 short. And I said to the cashier, put it on my tab, and he just looked at me, and I said, just put it on my tab.
I guess
and
it would surprise.
Goes, I don't have to do that.
Right.
And I said, well, you know, here's the great thing. Like, you're short, and now it's not a problem for you, and you can go home and feed your kids.
We all got to be more like you, Deborah. Oprah inspired you. You have inspired us.
I love it. It's so, I get why. Remember, you know, and you get a car, and you get a car. I get it.
Bill and I need a new car.
Yeah, give us each a car. Come on.
A wonderful, fulfilling feeling. I mean, we're not rich by any stretch of the imagination,
sure,
but we're doing better than most. And I get on about every day, and I'm grateful for it.
Yeah.
And I have to remember where I'm from. I mean, Roheen and I both, we came out of the inner city from poverty and drugs and crime and violence and craziness. And just for me to get an education and have a professional career is, like, astounding. So
good for you, Deborah.
Like, I need to give it back. That's all there is to it.
That's the healthiest way to look at it. Wow.
Thank you so much, and I hope it comes back to you at some point.
I hope so. I really do. All right, quick break, some news, and then we'll check in with Patrick McDonald and find out about new movies that are opening over the weekend. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN. Brian, thanks. Now, Patrick McDonald is here, film critic for HollywoodChicago.com and chief guide for Chicago Film Tour. Go to ChicagoFilmTour.com. And I challenge you, the listener, to be able to tell the difference between Patrick's voice and Wendy's voice today. I don't think it'll be easy to do. It's going to be a little difficult. Thank you for being here. We appreciate you being here.
Wendy is the sexier one.
Yes.
That was me talking, everyone.
Yes. Yes. Patrick, there's an ugly story going on in Hollywood right now. Leslie Jones has been a member of Saturday Night Live for a little over a year, about a year and a half. And then in addition to that, she's now doing movies. She was in the new Ghostbusters movie. Mm-hmm. But there's been some difficulty with her website, something of a scandal going on with her website. Please explain what's going on.
Well, it seems that hackers have gotten into her website, and this is her personal promotional website. And also, because they were able to get into that, they were able to get into her iCloud or cloud system, which also supplied all of her, of course, if anybody has an iPhone, they know everything's connected. So they were able to get her pictures, her IDs.
Driver's license, passport.
Yes.
Her phone number and Twitter password were also made public.
There you go.
That is not cool.
As well as some compromising photographs of her, correct?
Yeah. Apparently. Yes, so we have this situation now where nobody's safe, essentially. I mean, if you are perceived as an enemy of a hacker, they're going to get you. They're going to get everybody if that's the case. And we live in a climate now that I think that some people might think that's okay.
Is there any way to prevent this? Could anything have been done to make this not happen?
I'm not an IT expert. I would advise anybody who is putting up a personal website and connecting it to their phone to make sure they have the safeguards. But again, I'm not a tech expert, so.
I just don't understand. She's been getting a lot of heat lately, and she may not be my favorite person on SNL.
Right.
But she doesn't deserve this.
No, absolutely not. And we're seeing attacks on an African-American woman, which represents a lot of things in society. And I think that I was speculating earlier that this might be a turning point for us to kind of settle down and look at who we're hurting and why.
Mm-hmm. And why does somebody hack into a Leslie Jones account? Seriously, I don't get the fun in it to sit in the background. Hey, I did that. Look at this is all over the news.
Right. And the price you can pay is a very high one. There was an event about 2 years ago where some master hacker who's in the area, somewhere in Chicago, was able to access 35, 40, 45 different actresses and models' accounts, and they published a whole bunch of pictures online of these women. And then they found that guy, and I believe he was heavily prosecuted, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes, and apparently the FBI has a link to who these hackers are for Leslie Jones.
Homeland Security's investigating this.
Amazing. You know.
So what happened? There's a couple of things that happened here. Number one is all your personal information is compromised. So if somebody wants to somehow mess with their credit or do whatever, you can charge things. You can find out what their Visa numbers are. There's a thousand things you can do with this information. And you know where they live and everything like that. And then there's also the personal photographs, which is, again.
Why does she have so many nude photographs of celebrities? Is it just her?
I think it's her.
Right?
I mean, this is a trend, you know, and you got to think about these, ladies and gentlemen. If you're going to take a nude picture of yourself and send it to somebody, it is now public domain.
Yep.
You know,
don't store it on your iCloud. Print it up, put it on your refrigerator like I do.
Right. It's on with a Freaky's magnet. There's a Freaky's magnet, yep. And then it says Wendy's trip to Bermuda. That's how you do it. Come on.
There you go, folks. Get an invitation to a home.
Right.
See that
it's worth the trip. It's worth the trip. Well, you know, we hope nothing but the best. I don't know. Yes. I mean, that information's already out there. And then you say, well, this could ruin somebody's career, but.
She didn't do anything.
She didn't do anything.
It's not going to ruin her career.
I would think then people will have more sympathy for her.
Right.
And it's the old, you know, publicity thing, but this kind of publicity. And you know, a stranger having a vendetta against you, that is just, you know, it just is very creepy, number one. Then number two, a stranger who knows how to hack you, who has a vendetta against you for no reason, is the next realm of possibilities in our tech world. So,
wow.
Darn you, Al Gore, for inventing the internet.
Yeah, why did he have to invent the internet? It's terrible, isn't it? All right, we'll come back. There's much to discuss, which movies are coming out this weekend, and then a little bit of a fall preview. Patrick McDonald is here from HollywoodChicago.com, and he's the chief guide over at ChicagoFilmTour.com as well. So back after this, it's Bill and Wendy, WGN. It's Bill F., and it's Wendy Snyder with you on WGN. Our guest is Patrick McDonald. He's the film critic for HollywoodChicago.com. He's the chief guide over at Chicago Film Tour.
Go chief? I can do it very well today.
Good Nancy Culp.
Thank you.
Great Nancy Culp. Go to ChicagoFilmTour.com and take a tour of the city. Find out where all your favorite movies were shot here in town. Patrick, there's a movie, speaking about movies shot here in town, there's a movie, and the whole topic of the movie, from what I understand, is it's the first date between President Barack Obama and his wife, Michelle, and that was shot here. What do we need to know about this movie?
Well, South Side With Me was an idea from director, writer, let me get his name, Richard Tanney. And he's actually a Caucasian guy, which surprised me when I did the news conference. Not that it shouldn't be any kind of race barrier to writing a movie, but he was a tremendous Michelle and Barack fan. He saw that there was a lot of material out there about their first date.
Mm-hmm.
So what he did is he collected that material and kind of made a parallel universe type journey that they had during that day for their first date, which was quite charming, I have to say.
Yeah.
I'd like to see this, I think.
Yeah. How would you like your first date with your mate to be a movie? That would be a very interesting, wouldn't it, Wendy?
What would yours be rated, Wendy? What rating do you think the...
PG.
Would it be PG, first date? Yeah.
Mine would definitely be... in the, I think, even G-rated mode.
Oh.
First date, yeah.
Yeah,
wait a while,
date,
Bill.
I don't think a G. Maybe I curse during
that. Oh, maybe. Yes. Possibly. So so this is all about how he asked her out, and then they went out on a date.
Right.
And then it just stops there. It doesn't go much beyond that first date,
right? Nothing happened after that. Oh, and
fade to black.
But it's interesting to see a sitting president in a movie. The last time that happened was with George W. Bush and W., which, again, was not very positive.
Nope.
Also, they did an independent film called Assassination of a President while he was in office.
Mm-hmm.
So that was even worse. But, or we can go back to PT-109 with JFK, which was done
Cliff
while
Robertson.
He was sitting. Right, exactly. So, yes, so that it's very unusual. And it's very much St. Barack and St. Michelle in this.
They paint him in pretty colors.
They paint him in a nice aura.
But when you see it that way, do you sit there and say to yourself, oh, they couldn't have been that saccharine clean, could they? Or how do you feel when you're watching this?
They're very much both strivers. And I think you get an idea of how far and wide they strive in this movie. The Robinson household, where Michelle came from, is depicted with her mother and her father, who was who had MS and was on the last stages of that. But these were people who went from middle class roots to a glory that few people get to, and that's what's fascinating. I think the most interesting person in the White House is Michelle Obama's mother. Because here is a woman who who was an adult during the civil rights era, and if somebody would have came up to her in the late 1950s, early 60s and said, someday you'll be sitting in the White House as the mother of the first lady, she would have laughed for weeks.
Yeah.
The odds were against it.
Just like when the most powerful people in entertainment in the 1950s, you bring a baby and say, oh, it's Oprah Winfrey, and you say, here will be one of the most powerful women in show business.
Right.
They would have laughed for
weeks.
Yeah,
probably. Yeah.
So it's just an interesting dichotomy, basically.
And who is this movie geared toward? I mean, I'm interested in seeing it, but I don't see a lot of people wanting to see this movie.
I don't know. I think there's a curiosity factor, especially with their fans. You know, and let's take it from an inspirational point. Who went and saw the Jackie Robinson story when it came
that's
out?
True.
You know, there are generations that need to be inspired by people, who are you know, doing another track in society, you know, not just being entertainers and sports heroes and that sort of thing.
But how can you enjoy the movie if you're blaming him for everything while you're watching it?
Wow. You know, it's interesting because...
Thanks, Obama, for your movie.
Yeah. Wendy's going to say that all during the movie. Just yell that out.
Thanks for making me see your first date.
Yep.
The filmmaker, his brother, was a very conservative Republican.
Really?
And, of course, if it's your brother's film, you're going to go see it anyway. And he obviously went in with the thanks Obama attitude and came out saying that was just delightful.
Patrick, really? I don't know the actors who play Barack Obama and Michelle Obama, but it's extremely challenging playing a character who's one of your contemporaries because anybody watching the movie knows their moves and their vocal patterns. How well do these actors do?
Parker Sawyers is the name who played Barack Obama, and he did a tremendous job. Yeah. Very subtle. He did not try to do an impersonation. He tried to do the bearing.
Yeah.
And that's what you have to do in a biography, I think. If you saw Sir Anthony Hopkins do Richard Nixon, it's the same thing. It's a bearing rather than an impersonation. When you get into an impersonation, you start comparing it. Now,
Patrick, that was the criticism when I played Miyoshi Umeki, who played Mrs. Livingston in Courtship of Eddie's Father. I did a one-woman show, and that was the criticism that I had more than anything
else. Go ahead, say Mr. Eddie's Father.
I
want to put it behind me, because the critics were very harsh with my portrayal of Miyoshi Umeki.
Even people in our demographic, Bill, would have to search for that one, okay.
All right, so overall, you're recommending the movie or not?
Yes, 3.5 out of 5. I definitely think if you're interested in the Obamas, definitely go see it. I mean, they make them kind of saintly.
Do they? Yeah,
we'll go from there. But
is that the biggest movie opening this weekend?
I think so. There's a lot of movies that are on the middle end. But the biggest movie is Don't Breathe.
That looks pretty scary.
Yes, the scary movie.
Bless you, Wendy.
I said don't sneeze.
Wendy's allergic to scary movies, so we can talk about it only for a moment.
Don't Breathe, yes. Stephen Lang is the lead actor. He was in Avatar. It's directed by Freddy Alvarez, who did the last Evil Dead movie.
Somebody named Freddy making a scary movie.
Fady,
I see what
Fady,
they're... Oh, Fady? All right.
I asked him to pronounce his name, and I forgot.
And this is three kids decide to rob a blind man.
Exactly.
But it doesn't go well.
A blind veteran in Detroit because they think he has money in the house.
Yeah.
And, of course, a veteran would know how to burglar-proof a house. That's all I have to say.
All right.
It's a very good, a very excellent thriller. 3.5 out of 5 for me, only because I'm not a horror fan.
Was it legitimately, like, I've seen the ads for this a few times, I've seen the preview for it, and you say to yourself, this looks just really, really tense.
It's as much as a thriller as it is a horror film.
Yeah.
There are horror elements in it, so.
I like it, but I have to see it at home.
Yeah? Too scary in
a
theater?
Yeah, I can't. Yeah? I can't be around other people. I might scream or wet my pants.
Can I ask you, before Wendy wets her pants?
Yes.
I keep seeing ads for another Cloverfield, not Cloverfield, Blair Witch.
That movie.
But I can't tell, is it a continuation or is it a remake of Blair Witch?
I haven't heard anything about it.
Why would you remake it? Please don't remake it, whoever's making it.
The surprise of the first Blair Witch is that it was made for, I don't know, $10,000.
Really inexpensive.
And it was able to, you know, hit that zeitgeist at the right time.
Right.
Whereas you see a remake and you're like,
Well, I don't know if you'll even remember, they did a sequel to Blair Witch.
Yes.
And it got no business at all. And it
wasn't by the same people.
Right.
Yeah.
And it wasn't good. It was really not good.
And speaking of the internet, lo and behold, a new documentary about the internet by Werner Herzog.
Oh,
and
love him. What's he doing?
He narrates it too.
Oh, does he?
Yes, he does.
Yeah. What's
Schwarzenegger.
What's this movie about? What about the
internet? It's about the history of the internet, where they go to the actual room where it started, which is
25 years ago, a couple of days ago.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was
World Wide Web.
Right, the World Wide Web. But they go to the 1969, where they first communicated from Stanford to this room.
Oh, wow.
Yes, and it's a shrine.
Yeah.
But it's in a classroom office building.
Yeah.
That might be really cool.
That would be fun to
see. And we were talking about the Leslie Jones thing, so there are some particulars in there about the negativity of the web, too, that is very, very fascinating, involving a woman who gets into a car accident and her picture gets online.
Oh. So even then, in the early days of the internet, they knew that there'd be some good and some not so good coming out of it, right?
Yeah. Right.
Just like life.
Just like,
Four out of five for that one. They have the Roberto Duran story, Hands of Stone.
With De Niro.
Yes, right? 3.5 out of 5 for that one.
De Niro keeps gravitating towards movies about boxing, doesn't he?
Interesting.
Yeah. Raging Bull.
Raging
whether
Bull.
Whether he's fighting or whether he is.
Somehow involved in it.
Yeah.
He also did that one with Stallone about a year and a half ago that really just came and went in a week.
It was interesting. It was an interesting movie with Kevin Hart as their manager.
Yeah.
Bill's favorite.
My favorite actor. He doesn't play Barack Obama, does he, in any movies?
No.
No, that would be bad.
Yeah, they would have to give him stilts.
Right.
All right.
He plays an 8-year-old Barack Obama.
Thanks for Kevin Hart.
Patrick, thank you so
much. I love you, Kevin Hart.
Patrick McDonald, you can find him in a couple of places, HollywoodChicago.com, and then he's the chief guide over Chicago Film Tour. Go to ChicagoFilmTour.com.
Yes, we'll be call
back.
Us.
Give him a call. We'll be back right after this. It's Bill and Wendy, WGN. Talking baseball, Klazuski Campanella, talking baseball, the man and Bobby Feller, the scooter, the barber and the nuke, they knew them all from Boston to Dubuque. Kim, thanks. Hi, everybody. It's Bill Leff and it's Wendy Snyder. We are talking baseball for just a little bit because we received the word yesterday that White Sox Park, or do you call it U.S. Cellular Field, or do you call it the Cell?
I call it Comiskey.
Do you call it Comiskey? Do you still call it Comiskey?
Kind of.
Well, word came out yesterday that it'll no longer be called any of those things, and if you call it those things, you'll go to jail.
Baseball jail.
Baseball jail.
With Pete Rose. He's the warden.
Pete Rose is in there, right? There's a lot of other baseball luminaries in there. But we must now call it, by edict of the law, Guaranteed Rate Field. Boy, that name just flows off the tongue.
Yeah, no, it doesn't. Good for Guaranteed Rate Mortgage. This is a great deal for 13 years.
Yeah, I think for them, because they're one of those companies, I had heard of them a little bit every once in a while.
I've never heard of them.
They weren't in the main collective, but now we will all be forced to say that name a lot when referring to the White Sox.
That's really great for them.
Couldn't they, though, have thought of some name? Now, I guess if you're going to have your name in the title, you have to have your name in the title. It just doesn't flow nicely. You know, like Comiskey Park, you say to yourself, yeah, that sounds like a place where some fellows would play baseball. But when you say to somebody Guaranteed Rate Field, it sounds like you're going to a strip mall, doesn't it?
Yeah.
It'd be like having Chico's Bail Bonds have a baseball stadium.
That would be better.
The White
going
Sox
to Chico's Field
playing against the Boston Red Sox at Chico's Bail Bonds Stadium. That does sound better, I guess.
It does.
Now, people were upset, and I'll be honest with you. I know you were one of them, and I was one of them to some extent. Even saying U.S. Cellular Field was a hard move for many of us here in town.
Well, first of all, it's hard to say.
Yeah.
U.S. Cellular.
Yes. Yes.
And, you know, Sox Park is what I call it, actually.
Right.
I know people called it the Cell.
Yeah. That sounds like people are in jail, doesn't it?
And the Cubs Cell. Fans would say that that's where a lot of Sox fans live.
Belong.
Yes.
Right. I know. They drew up their own punchline.
Somebody said they should have renamed it Comiskey Park, brought to you by Guaranteed Rate Mortgage.
Can I be honest with you? That has some class to it. I like the way that sounds. That has a much better ring to it.
It really does.
It just sounds too, I don't want to sound too, like not too shady, because I'm sure the business they do is not shady. I'm sure it's an upstanding business. And the owner is an interesting man, because the owner is one of those guys like myself who is a fan of both teams. Like he's well documented as being at plenty of Cubs games, and now he'll be at plenty more White Sox games. But I like a guy who's not afraid to say, I like both teams.
Well, he should only like one now.
Now he should probably lean toward the White Sox. Yeah, I think that's fair. But I wonder how the fan base, I mean, I watched this on the news last night on two different stations. They just asked your average White Sox fan, hey, what do you think about this? And then they showed your average White Sox fans throwing up, like one by one. They would just bend down and pull out a paper bag and throw up.
You know what's weird is U.S. Cellular. There are some locations in Illinois, but like Peoria and on the other side of Springfield.
When they first opened as U.S. Cellular Field, they were much more prevalent.
In
they
the
were
Chicago
kind of
area.
All over the Chicago
yep.
area, so that made sense. But yeah, as their market share has dissipated, their sponsorship of White Sox Park didn't make much sense anymore.
Yeah.
You knew at some point somebody, one of the bean counters over there, would go, well, yeah, we got to stop sponsoring White Sox Park. We're not really in Chicago much anymore.
Yeah, it's not helping them too
much. No, no.
My voice is getting worse, by the way.
Yeah, I'm noticing that.
I'm sorry.
Are you okay to stay? Are you going to stay?
Yeah, no, I'm staying. I just
Kevin, our producer, just left.
Well,
he just walked home.
He's not feeling well, and his cat is sick.
Yeah.
I have some tea up here if you want it. Hot tea.
I've had tea. I've had chicken soup. I've had lozenges. I've had water.
Yeah.
I don't know what else
None
is
of it's
gonna
working?
Work. No. But so if it's...
Just don't talk. Just nod during the show.
Can I just write things and
Yeah, you write them and I'll say them. Yeah.
All right.
That's fine. Write something down and then I'll say it.
I can't write that quickly.
Oh.
It's like you're on Match Game and you're going to hold up your card for Gene Rayburn.
Old Man Periwinkle said White Sox Park should now be called blank.
What do you think, Brett?
I do sound like Brett Summers. Is that what you meant? Thank you, Kim. Guaranteed Rate Field Park, what are they doing?
It's going to be called Guaranteed Rate Field, right? Yeah, Field.
All right, well, we need some kind of nickname at least.
The
Lots of people were saying the rate.
The rate. That doesn't have much, I don't know. Although I didn't like the sell at first. That kind of grew on me. But the rate just sounds, it doesn't have any baseball ring at all.
Yeah, I agree. Patrick, do you have a nickname?
Yeah, has anybody come up with the great rate?
The great rate is better. It sounds like Grape Ape. But I like that, too.
Call it Grape Ape.
The Grape Ape. The Great Rate is the best I've heard so far.
The Great Rate, home of Chicago's White Sox or whatever. You know, I mean, whatever.
Right. I like that. All right.
You guys are great.
Oh, you're
both great.
Oh, thank
we'll
you.
We'll give you a great rate, too.
Thank you, Patrick.
Okay. Well, thank you. I hope you feel better.
Thank you very much, Patrick. I appreciate it.
They do. What do they do primarily? They do mortgages,
yeah,
right?
Great rate mortgages.
Hochberg didn't put in a bid.
I'm telling
Hochberg
you, he's
Field.
Kicking himself. Not Pearl Field. It
right.
would have been Hochberg.
Hochberg Field.
The Hawk. Let's go to the Hawk.
That's beautiful.
I love it.
That has a great sound. All right, we'll take a quick break and then get your thoughts on this and plenty of other things. We're at 312-981-7200 if you'd like to jump in. It's Phil and Wendy on WGN. All right, here's what we found out yesterday. We here in Chicago learned that as of November the 1st, that's the date that they changed the name. You can't call it White Sox Park anymore. You can't call it U.S. Cellular Field. You can't call it The Cell. If you do, Chet Lemon will come to your house and biff you, and you don't want that. So you must now call it, as of November the 1st, Guaranteed Rate Field. How do you feel about that?
You know, in their logo, they have an arrow pointing down.
Right.
How about the arrow?
The arrow is kind of interesting.
It doesn't really
I guess.
Get the name out, though.
Yeah. The arrow. It's a little better. There's a little more action involved.
Hey, Mike?
Yeah.
All right. Do you have a nickname for the park?
Yeah, it's a Guaranteed Rate Field, so let's just call it the Griff.
The Griff.
GRF?
Yeah.
I like it.
It's okay.
The Griff.
The Griff, right.
The Gruff.
The Gruff, right.
You can have the crime dog as their...
Oh, my God, what will Southpaw do?
Are they changing his name? I hope they don't change his name. It's not bad. All right, so the Griff, that's palatable.
All right,
yeah,
that's
like
not
Thank
a bad
you,
idea. Thank you, Mike. That's what Mike's going to call it.
All right.
God, my voice.
It's up to everybody to call it what they feel comfortable with.
Nancy, what about you?
No, I was commenting on the arrow in the logo.
Yeah.
Nothing worse than the name is to have that downward arrow in up on the park wall.
Yeah, they're
But
they're,
rates are down.
That's what they're saying is it's guaranteed in like bluish letters, and then there's an orangish red arrow that says rate in it,
right.
And it's an arrow, and it is pointing down. It is, I mean, to look at it, it's a downer. It's a negative connotation.
Right.
Yeah, I know.
I think.
I know. All right, good call. Thank you, Nancy.
Okay.
You would think the arrow should be pointing up as if to say the destiny of our team is looking upwards, but that goes against the grain of what they're trying to sell, which is lower rates. So you're at odds over that.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Peter's on the line. Hi, Peter. Peter?
Peter is so shell-shocked over this name change, he cannot bring himself to speak. Very upset.
He was saying Grimm.
The Grimm?
Great Rate Mortgage. Oh. GRM.
But
Grimm.
The Grimm sounds awful. The Grimm sounds very morose, doesn't it?
Yes,
the
it Grimm. Does. Henry, how about you?
Well, every time you say the word rate,
yeah,
it sounds like you're saying right to me. So I thought they were just sponsoring Right Field. So you,
the
you
great Right Field.
Up, you could divide up the field. You could have Lowe's left field, Costco center field.
Oh, that's good.
Super Dog second base.
Oh, I like this. And if the White Sox organization is listening, they're going to like this too.
That's really good.
Sounds good to me.
Thank you, Henry.
More mentions for companies, more money flowing into the park. I like that. That's a marketing genius right there.
Well, Guaranteed Rate Field, what, November 1?
Yeah, November 1st is when it'll switch over. And then, like I said, by law, we must refer to it as that and only that.
All right, I think we have a winner. Can I just say that?
Yeah, oh. What?
Tom hung up.
What's Tom saying? Can you say?
I don't want to steal his thunder.
Oh, Tom, call back.
Tom,
you're our
you
winner.
Have to call back. Because really, this is the way
That's
to do it.
That's the best
it.
One? All right.
Yeah.
All right.
But we have to wait. Should we all just wait together?
Yes. Let's just take a moment or two to ourselves. That's perfect.
What about the grape?
The grape. So why would it
Guaranteed
be called?
Guaranteed Rate Park, GRP. But it's field.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the holdback on the grape.
All right. This is from a Cubs fan, 630. Why not call?
Oh, by the way, let me just say before you say what it is. Cubs fans are loving this.
I know.
Cubs fans are absolutely loving this.
Whatever. 630 says, why not call the park where the White Sox underperform what it is? 30% full.
Oh.
I'm a Sox fan and I can laugh at
that. Oh. The stats just came out, by the way. The White Sox in attendance are 26th in baseball. In
that
attendance.
Breaks my heart.
For a team that's
How many
just,
total teams?
There's 30.
That oh, breaks
bad.
My heart.
So if you look at their record, I believe they're 500, which isn't great. You know, I mean, seriously, if they were just 500, they would be in contention. But they're 500, but certainly nothing that would warrant them being 26th out of 30 teams. That's awful.
I don't know what it is.
I don't know what it is either.
Linda, you have an idea?
Linda?
Yes.
Hi, what was your idea?
All right, I know it sounds kind of sick, but GARP.
GARP.
Great Park, home of the White Sox.
The GARP.
Like the world according to GARP.
Sure.
That's even better.
That's really good. I like the GARP.
You going to the GARP tonight?
Yeah, let's go to the GARP. That's
know,
got... That, no, it's better than most of the legitimate ones. I like that one.
All right, well, Tom can't get through, but I believe this is him who has just texted. This is the winner.
What is it?
Winner, winner, chicken dinner. The G-Spot. I'm going to the G-Spot tonight. Can I come with?
It would be the hardest field to find in all of baseball. That could be their,
for you, maybe.
Their catchphrase. Although, it's worth finding.
It would be
come
ladies'
out.
Night every night every there. Night.
And remember the game they used to play with the, they would put a prize underneath a seat?
Yeah.
Yeah. There's a new version of that I can't even explain to
yeah,
you on
you,
the air.
I wouldn't go
but
there.
They could do it if they wanted to. All right. That's all. Tom, that's a brilliant idea.
The G-Spot. That's what I'm calling it. I love it.
It's beautiful.
Guaranteed Rate Field.
Yeah.
The G-Spot.
All right. I'm in.
All
I'll
right.
start calling it that. All right. We need to take a quick break. We have a lot coming up on the show, including one of the greatest basketball players of all time, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, will be on to talk about basketball and his life and a little bit of politics, too. He's just got a new book that just came out. I don't know if you saw Kareem speak at the Democratic Convention, but he had what I consider to be one of the most golden of moments there at the Democratic Convention. So we'll talk to Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, and we have a lot of other stuff planned for you. Stick around. It's Bill Leff and Wendy Snyder on WGN. Kim, thanks so much. In a little while, Wendy and I will be speaking with Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, one of the greatest NBA players of all time. He has a new book out called Writings on the Wall. We'll speak to him shortly. But first, yes, it's true. TJ Wendy is coming back.
TJ Hooker?
TJ Hooker.
Big fan.
Is not coming back, but Thomas Jefferson is coming back. Although to see Thomas Jefferson reenact some of the great classic scripts of TJ Hooker would certainly be a treat. We welcome the return of Thomas Jefferson, presented by Conasic and Dillon, their trial attorneys. That takes place on Saturday, November the 5th at the MAC on the College of DuPage. Join WGN Radio and John Williams in a unique live stage show featuring founding father and third president Thomas Jefferson just days before the presidential election. You can hear insights from TJ, or Thomas Jefferson as he used to be called, on what might be in store for us in the next chapter of America's history. You'll also get the chance to ask your own questions as well. Tickets are going very fast, though. Get yours today. Just go to WGNRadio.com/events for the link to buy your tickets, or you can call the MAC box office. The return of TJ, Thomas Jefferson, is presented by Conasic and Dillon, trial attorneys, transportation provided by O'Hare Midway Limousine.
All right. You know, it's funny you're talking about Thomas Jefferson, because it's 2016, right? Last time I checked.
It is 2016.
But sometimes the stories of the day and the news stories makes me feel like it's hundreds of years
ago.
Sure,
of course.
When Thomas Jefferson was a big fan of T.J. Hooker.
Right, right. He was one of the first presidents to fully endorse that show as being a landmark in history. You're right.
So sometimes when I feel like we've gone back in time, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar has put together a book to try and make sense of it all.
Yes.
And I have absolutely no voice left for today.
We're going to play a clip of him when he's with us. We're waiting for his phone call. We're going to play a clip of him at the Democratic Convention, which is very short and very sweet and very to the point. He got off a very nice line there at the Democratic Convention, and we'll play a little bit of it for you when we have him.
All right, and what's up, Elif, with the Kareem Abdul-Jabbar?
We're waiting on him.
All right. All right. Can I give you a quick update?
Is he flying an airplane?
Yes. Yes, he is. That's, for people who don't know, that is a reference to airplane. A very funny reference to airplane. Can I give you a quick update on a story you and I discussed on Friday? And that is a little bit of a war that went on. I think this was Friday that we talked about this. Between Billy Bush and Al Roker over at NBC. Now, Billy Bush, we ran the audio clip. I don't have it ready for you right now, but I'll just kind of summarize it for everybody. During the Today Show the other day, Billy Bush was talking about Ryan Lochte, and he refused to use the word lied. He wouldn't say lied. He kept saying embellished, and he kept dancing around what Ryan Lochte's version of his story was.
And they're friends, right? I said it jokingly.
Ryan Lochte
but
is a friend of Billy Bush's. Yeah. Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. They have some history. So Al Roker is to the left of Billy Bush during this story, and you can see Al Roker just getting angrier and angrier, and then he calls Billy Bush out on it and says he lied, and Billy Bush wanted nothing to do. Well, he embellished some things that happened.
And then he told Al to calm down.
Yeah, it got very, very tense. Well, now it looks like NBC is upset with Al Roker, not with Billy Bush, but with Al Roker. Here's the story. The world sided with Al Roker when he went in on Ryan Lochte after the Olympic swimmer's elaborate lies about his Rio robbery. He lied to you. He lied to Matt Lauer. He lied to his mom, Roker said to co-host Billy Bush on the Today Show last week.
All true.
All true. He left his teammates hanging while he skedaddled. Also true, and also fun to hear the word skedaddled.
Very good use of the word.
Right. Right. It's hard to pull off the word skedaddled, but he did. There was no robbery. There was no pullover. He lied. These are the words of Al Roker just last week on the Today Show. Roker wasn't wrong, but according to Page Six, Today Show executives and an on-air talent, I'm going to guess Billy Bush.
Well,
although talent
he's on air.
In italics.
Yeah.
Are unhappy with the way that things went down. The outburst was apparently had made things just a little bit awkward with the U.S. Olympic Committee. Well, they already had their problem didn't stem from
already
Al
awkward.
Roker. Right. Already as awkward as can be. Al Roker didn't make anything more or less awkward. It was a great thing to watch online, but a lot of NBC staff thought that he took it way too far for something that, while it was certainly a legitimate issue and certainly bad behavior by Lochte, the outrage to that level just wasn't justified, sources are telling the newspaper. Now, I sided then, and I still side with Al Roker, and I think you do too.
I do too.
Because it was infuriating knowing what we know that Ryan Lochte was I mean, he at this point, you can't even say allegedly lying. I think all the proof is in it that he lied. All the endorsers have dropped, or the major endorsers have dropped Ryan Lochte.
He has really shot himself in the Speedo, so to speak. He yes, really he has.
Yes, he did. So if there is any shock at all in this, it's that NBC is siding with Billy Bush. I'm shocked that they didn't say, well, of the two guys, and it wasn't a fight. It was a disagreement on air between Billy Bush and Al Roker. But how could you not side with Al Roker? What he was saying was true all the way through.
Because this is NBC, right?
Yeah.
NBC brought us the Olympics, right?
Oh, they have without a doubt, NBC has a huge claim in this. They really do. They were the network of the Olympics.
So they're trying to...
sugarcoat it
a little bit.
Yeah. I guess so. But
God, when Billy Bush is the voice of reason. I mean, really?
I know.
I've had enough of the Bushes.
He is a cousin of the Bush family. He's a cousin.
Aren't there any other families in this country besides the Bushes and the Clintons?
No, those are your two. Those are your two.
And it's going to be the Trumps.
And the Trumps, right. That's it. All right, let's take a quick break. We're hoping to talk to Kareem Abdul-Jabbar.
If not, I could play the part of him because my voice is very low today. So you can ask me questions. I'll play the part.
I think the only difference is your three-point percentage was not as high as his, but everything else was kind of in tune. All right, we'll come back in just a little bit, hopefully with Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. More show coming your way next. Bill and Wendy, WGN.
Are you spinning plates?
I'm currently spinning plates, Wendy.
Good to know.
On the line with us right now is the NBA's all-time leading scorer, 38,387 points, Wendy, which is 38,387 points more than you and me combined. That's how many points Kareem Abdul-Jabbar scored in his NBA career. He is also, of course, an accomplished actor. Need I point to anything other than Airplane or Enter the Dragon? He is the author of the new book, Writings on the Wall. He is Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. Kareem, an honor to talk to you, sir.
Well, nice to talk to you.
It really is. Kareem, I have to ask you, the subtitle of your book is Searching for a New Equality Beyond Black and White. Please tell me that's possible. I like to think it is.
Absolutely, it's possible. But, you know, it's going to take some effort, you know, and a lot of times we expect things just to work themselves out and present themselves to us in finished form. And, you know, it's a little bit of laziness on our part where we just expect things to evolve. You got to, you know, put our own effort into that and the guidance and vision that we have really is what makes these things work.
It seems hard to move forward, though, when every day we fall farther behind.
Well, you know, the reason that we're falling behind, I think, has to do with the fact that for just at least the past 8 years, Congress did not want to work with the president. They just decided that they were going to oppose everything he tried to put forward. And it really tied our hands up and made this gridlock seem like it's never going to go away.
I want to point out that Kareem is appearing tonight at Pfeiffer Hall. That's at North Central College. It's a 7 o'clock presentation. You want to go to andersonsbookshop.com. They are underwriting the event. Andersonsbookshop.com has all the information. Are you ever amazed that in 2016, we still consider the differences of our skin color to be a defining factor in almost everything?
Yeah, I do. You know, of course, it's a really old construct that it isn't really valid, you know. There's only one race, actually, the human race. That's the only race that's out here. All these other differences that we see in skin color and hair texture and eye color, that's just a random event. But we're all human beings, and we have the ability to work together, and you know we have to rely on that.
All right, in the state of affairs right now with this election that's coming up, you've heard about that, right, Kareem? There's just a lot of tension and, in my opinion, a lot of hatred out there.
I don't know if it's hatred, but there's a lot of fear out there. I know that. And people,
well, yeah,
when they get to be afraid of something, they kind of you kind of retreat into like what you believe in, and it makes it impossible to listen to anybody else because you're afraid. We can't give in to that. You know, we have to get to the point where we have the confidence that our fellow Americans have some intelligence and some goodwill about them.
You have to have a conversation.
We don't move forward. There has to be a conversation. That's what happened with the founding fathers at the Continental Congress. Those different factions really argued and had differences of opinion. They had their own biases. But in realizing that, they took the time to listen to the other side and to figure out what we can do together that makes sense for everybody. And I think that's where we got to go.
Kareem, you had a golden moment there at the Democratic Convention a couple of weeks ago. I'm going to play this, and it's a couple of seconds long, but boy, there's so much said in those couple of seconds. This is Kareem Abdul-Jabbar just a few weeks ago at the Democratic National Convention. Listen.
Hello, everyone. I'm Michael Jordan, and I'm here with Hillary. I said that because I know that Donald Trump couldn't tell the difference.
All right. First of all,
they loved
that's
you,
hysterical.
Man.
That's so funny. Give us the backstory on that, Kareem. What went into that?
Well, basically, that was a joke that Kathy Griffin gave me. She said, "You should tell them that you're Michael Jordan and that Donald Trump can't tell the difference between you. They really enjoy that."
Yeah.
And I thought about it, and I said, "You know what? He probably couldn't." I met Mr. Trump one or two times, and he goes around telling people he's never met me. He doesn't know who I am. So I figured, why not? Let's go for it.
Really? Because I thought Hillary was the one that lies. He points that out every minute.
I don't know. You know, it's
just crazy.
It was a good moment, though.
What do you make out of this? This election is like nothing any of us have ever seen before. So what do you make of it all?
Well, I think, you know, Mr. Trump is trying to get everybody to react to what they fear. And he's trying to collect votes by making people afraid of something. We can't do that. We have to have the courage to understand problems, and that takes a little bit of research and a little bit of patience. We need that. You know, it takes some work to get things done correctly. And when we get to the point where we can do that, I think that we will overcome our fears and, as Americans, figure out what the best thing is for all Americans.
Yeah, gosh, I hope we can figure out what it is and get it together.
Well, that's my hope, and that's what I'm working for, and that's what I'm trying to promote with my book.
Writings on the Wall is the name of it, Searching for a New Equality Beyond Black and White. Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, and you will be out at Anderson's Bookshop. It's an off-site location, Pfeiffer Hall, North Central College, tonight at 7 p.m. And
it is in Naperville, correct.
Yeah.
A beautiful venue. You're going to enjoy it there. And Kareem, I know we don't have you for a long time. I know we have to say goodbye to you. But just really quick, because we've never had a chance to talk to you before. In my opinion, Airplane is still the funniest movie that's ever been made. When you look back on your days there at Airplane, and boy, it lives on in perpetuity forever. It makes generations of people laugh. What are your thoughts about the magic of that movie, of Airplane?
Well, I think it kind of caught up with what a lot of Americans see when they go, when they travel. You know, it's kind of the thing that some of those things that are joked in there are things that we wonder about our fellow passengers.
Sure.
We never get a chance to ask them the question because, you know, strangers on a plane, you're together for 3 or 4 hours, and then you go off in your own different directions. So I think that's one of the things that you wonder about the other people on the plane or the people that work in the airline industry. What are they doing? How do they get their jobs done? And I wonder what it would be like if I tried it.
Sure. But I know you're part of it, so it might be harder for you. But when you see it, do you laugh just as hard as the rest of us? Is it as funny to you as it is to the rest of the world to watch that movie Airplane?
Well, yeah, I thought it was funny when I was doing it. And it's kind of amazing how comedies are made because you have to collaborate with people. You know,
sure.
The writers of comedy films, really, it's like 10, 12 people in a room, and they go back and forth with their different ideas, and it they put it together, and I thought they did a great job with that film.
Boy, is it funny.
It is funny. Do you still laugh when you watch it? Come on, it's on cable. You don't turn it off, do you, when you come upon it?
You know, I know all the jokes. It gets kind of old.
I guess it would.
One thing is great. Every now and then I run into some of your folks that were in the film with me. And, you know, it's always nice to see them. And it's kind of amazing to me, you know, that I was in a film with Ethel Merman. That my parents watched, you know?
Yeah, that is
sure.
Pretty cool.
What's better than that? Kareem, an honor to talk to you. Again, that book is called Writings on the Wall by Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. It's available now. You can see Kareem Abdul-Jabbar speak tonight at Pfeiffer Hall, North Central College in Naperville. That's a 7 o'clock start. Andersonsbookshop.com has all the information. Continued good luck to you, sir. Thanks for being here.
Thank you so much. It was great talking to you.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
The great Kareem Abdul-Jabbar.
He is great. Not a great phone, though, I will tell you that. And
well, he's very tall, so just to get
I would
near...
think a better reception.
Right,
he's closer to the towers.
That's so true. You know what's funny is I'm a huge basketball fan, and if somebody said to me, who is basketball's all-time leading scorer, he would not have been my guess. I would have put him in the top 10, but I didn't know he was the number one guy of all time.
Yeah, I wouldn't have guessed that.
He's just ahead of Moses Malone. He's 2,000 points ahead of Moses Malone. But I thought I thought Michael Jordan might have had a better chance. Wilt Chamberlain, Oscar Robertson. There's a couple guys, Kobe Bryant, who's in probably fifth place or sixth place. But no, it is Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, 38,387 points.
I didn't want to tell him this, but he's no Dr. J. I love Julius Irving. He's
Why
my
didn't you
idol.
Tell him that?
Oh, you know, I played basketball in high school and really looked up to Julius Irving.
Right, sure.
But Kareem Abdul-Jabbar will do.
Yeah, he's okay.
He's funnier right. than Dr. J. I'll give you that.
Just a little. But then Dr. J has the medical background.
True.
So
and I'm a hypochondriac.
Right. So that makes more sense. All right. We'll take a quick break. We'll come back. A little after the news, we're going to talk to Ryan Burrow about all the destruction. I'm sure everybody's aware of what went on in Indiana last night. If you saw the footage or you've been hearing
scary.
The reports. Beyond scary. Everything that went down there last night is just so awful.
And tornadoes in the double digits.
Yeah, yeah.
That is so freaky to me.
So we'll talk to Ryan, and then in addition to Ryan, we'll have somebody that was kind of right in the heart of everything that went on in Indiana last night. All that's ahead. It's Bill Leff and Wendy Snyder on WGN. Kim, thanks so much. It's Bill Leff and it's Wendy Snyder. Later on in the show, Ryan Burrow, our own Ryan Burrow, will join us, and we will talk about what went on in Indiana last night. A multitude of terrible, terrible tornadoes devastating the state. We'll talk to Ryan and then somebody who was kind of right in the heart of all the action last night. That'll happen a half an hour from now. You've known me for a long time, and you know that in my head I have a lot of what I guess would be considered useless facts, just dumb stuff that I keep in my head.
A lot of stuff.
I got a lot of stuff in there. Think about having a clearance sale in the fall where people could just purchase these
things. I would buy some of it. Yeah. Some of it's really interesting.
Well, thank you. I don't go for interesting so much as volume. I just like to have a lot of dumb stuff up there. So one of the things I was just thinking, because we were talking to Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, and people do know him from Airplane, aside from his NBA career, and they do know him from Enter the Dragon, and we were talking about basketball players that have gone on to try acting, and I said to you, there's an NBA star, a man named Bill Laimbeer, who you probably have heard of, right? Bill Laimbeer was around for at least a decade in the NBA, pretty good player, pretty solid player, but before he was an NBA star, Bill Laimbeer was an actor of sorts on a television show for a number of years. And I said to you, do you know what role he played, Bill Laimbeer, on television?
It was a series?
It was a series, yes. And people, I've mentioned this not on this show, not with you, but on the overnight
Your
show.
Other show?
And people questioned it, but then if you looked it up, you'll find that it is true.
Can you give
it
me a hint?
It seems unbelievable, but it is true. I will give you a hint. The hint is this. This television show, although it ran for several years, is considered primarily to be a kid's show, but it wasn't only kids that were watching it, but it is primarily a kid's show. Does that help at all?
The Magic Door?
It is not The Magic Door. I was on The Magic Door.
Oh,
not,
I get
not
you.
Not Bill Lambier.
Bill Lambier mixed
up. We were
up.
Both up for it, and there was a jump ball, and I think he purposely didn't win so that I would be on The Magic Door instead of him.
Pee-wee's Playhouse?
No, that's a great guess. It was not Pee-wee's Playhouse, but boy, is that a strong guess.
Is it close?
It is it is a Saturday morning show. Of some renown, it's a famous Saturday morning show that he was on.
Bill Banana Lambert. Splits?
No, not Banana Splits. No. No.
I don't know.
Should I tell you?
Yeah, you should tell me.
I will tell you. Bill Lambier, for a couple of years, was one of the Sleestaks on Land of the Lost.
Are you kidding me?
No. Isn't that cool? Isn't that excellent? And like after knowing that, whenever I would see a clip of Land of the Lost, I would try to figure out which one he was, but there was never a Sleestak dribbling a basketball or going in for a layup, because then I'd go, well, now I know which one it is. It's that Sleestak. I don't know which one, but for people who don't know that show, Land of the Lost, it was about these three people, Marshall, Will, and Holly, on a routine expedition to the greatest world ever known, who went back in time to dinosaur times, or a Sid and Marty Krofft version of dinosaur times. And then once they were there, they encountered this guy named Enoch, who was very lizard-like, and he had a bunch of Sleestaks who were like half-human, half-lizard people.
You're remembering this way better than I am.
I'm remembering it way better than it was. Like, my memories of Land of the Lost are extremely happy, fond memories, but now when I see clips, I go, oh, what was I watching? What's wrong with me? I spent every Saturday watching the show. So he was one of the Sleestaks whose goal it was to exterminate Marshall, Will, and Holly. He wanted to kill them and eat them, or dribble them anyway.
Yes, dribble them.
Yeah.
Yeah, it says this on Internet Movie Data Bill.
Right.
Land of the Lost, 1974. Good golly.
Bill Lambier was one of the Sleestaks.
He was known as William.
Yeah, back then.
Also, Game of Death is the movie, the Bruce Lee movie that Kareem was in.
Not Enter the Dragon?
Not Enter the Dragon.
Oh, I thought he was in Enter the Dragon. It was Game of Death. All right.
That's what Elif is telling me.
Is John Saxon also in that movie, does it say?
In what movie?
Game of Death.
I didn't look that up. I was looking up Land of the Lost.
For some reason, I want to put John Saxon in there. One of our greatest forgotten actors.
We should be talking to Paul Reiser again, can be whipping out these names.
I know. All right. While you're looking that up, I'm trying to think of which of these fits in better here. Let me do this update. There's an update to another story that we did at the end of last week, and I found this a little intriguing last week, and the more I hear about it, the more intriguing it is to me. Did you find it already?
No, and Elif, just you can go on the air. Who told you that it was Game of Death?
I think it is Game of Death. I thought it was Enter the Dragon, but it might be Game of Death.
It was one of our listeners.
Yeah?
Yeah.
But did you look it up, or did you just take their word for it?
No, I looked it up.
Because I can't even find him in it.
No? Kareem?
And who did you want to know who was in it?
John Saxon. I think he's in it, too. Do you know who he is?
No.
Like one of those B-movie actors that was in 150 movies. And nobody knows who he is until you see his name. They go, oh, yeah, that guy. All right, John Saxon. I know who that is.
I can't find anything
today. All right. Well, you're sickly. That's all right. Rest.
I'm not sickly. I feel fine. I just have no voice.
Oh. Not there? No?
No.
All right, that's okay. That's all right.
John Saxon was in Enter the Dragon.
He was. Or I can't. For some reason, I can't separate those two. In my head, those two movies are playing as the same movie. I don't know why. But Enter the Dragon and Game of Death are one and the same to me, and I know that they were slightly different.
All right.
I can't determine the difference, but the casts are all running together in my head.
Oh, how I wish you would give me an update on Katy Perry's life.
I have one, Wendy. Let's do this. We'll take a quick break, and then we'll explain something that happened to Katy Perry last week that was a little bit disturbing, and it gets
and
weirder.
Weird.
It was, but it gets weirder and weirder as time goes on. We'll explain that next. Bill and Wendy, WGN.
It's Bill Lepp. It's Wendy Snyder, 720 WGN. Thank you, Kim. I am deathly afraid of tornadoes and have been ever since I was a little kid.
Yeah.
And with good reason, because yesterday in Indiana, I believe there, I know there were 8, maybe 12 tornadoes, Ryan Burrow, in the studio with us right now. How many?
We still don't know at this point. The National Weather Service is going through. They've got 6 confirmed for sure. They're thinking 8. We initially heard 12, but they may be pulling back on that a little bit. Remember, it's all based on kind of the wind speeds at certain periods, so sometimes this takes a little while to investigate. But it was definitely a rash of tornadoes that went from pretty much northwestern Indiana, kind of the Kokomo, Lafayette area, and then pushed all the way through to Ohio. And I was telling you off air, one of the KISS concerts actually got postponed a little bit in Toledo because of the bad weather.
Yeah. How much warning did they have there in Indiana?
You know, this was not a day where forecasters in Indianapolis and Kokomo and areas like that came and said, you know, this is coming up later. It really cropped up fast. But this just shows you what kind of age we're living in right now. Despite all of these tornadoes, despite all the damage and destruction, we've all seen that Starbucks image of the place just completely
flattened.
Leveled. No major injuries. 10 to 15 people with minor injuries, nothing too severe. I mean, just incredible how all of this damage can happen and people got into the right areas at the right times. Sirens apparently going off. We haven't heard any complaints about sirens not going off. Obviously, everyone's got one of these, a cell phone now. A lot of them are getting alerts. People are getting into space a little bit quicker. They've got a little more time to react.
All right, on the line with us right now is Grover Edwards. Now, Grover, you were at work at Best Mobile when you saw some activity going on in the sky.
Yeah, it was just kind of a weird thing. It got real dark, and it was coming from the west side of the building, like a funnel cloud. Got real dark. I was going to the phone shop, and once it went past the phone shop, it was across the gas station. It just started pouring down, raining. But the cloud was real distinctive, twirling at a real fast rate.
Now, had it touched down on the ground yet, or did you just kind of see the funnel cloud in the sky?
It didn't touch down. I just seen a funnel cloud in the sky. It was kind of a distinctive look, though. I knew something was going on.
Had you seen one?
A tornado.
Grover, until last night, had you ever seen a funnel cloud or a tornado?
Never. No. Never seen one. Never witnessed one. It's first time ever. It was something very different, unique.
You know, my question to you, and we kind of all run through these scenarios in our head. At what point are you a spectator, and at what point do you say, "Hey, I need to get somewhere fast"? Because you know,
very fast.
In this cell phone era, we saw so many images of people taking pictures, and you know, we always tell ourselves, either we say that those people are dumb, what are you doing, get into a safe place, but you're so amazed because you've never seen anything that powerful before, and we've seen, you know, these videos pop up all on the news, and I was telling my wife yesterday, I said, you know, as much as I want to say I'd be in the basement, you know, I'm also kind of a news guy. I want to see this thing. I want to see, you know, what it's doing, where the damage is. And, you know, there's obviously a point of no return there, but sure. You got out of the way pretty well, and you did experience it, it seems like.
Yeah, I did. It was a different experience, very different. Like I said, I was luckily hoping nobody got hurt. That's what I was real happy about, you know, but I was able to just witness something that, you know, I never witnessed before, so...
Grover Edwards on the line with us. You were at the intersection of 21st and Ritter. How close was that to the Starbucks that was leveled?
The Starbucks was leveled. I'm in Indianapolis. That was in Kokomo. So it was two different places, but it was Kokomo. But the tornado in Indianapolis, the one you're talking about, it came right above us, right above the phone side. Just in touchdown, it was an actual tornado.
Yeah. Were the sirens going off?
Oh, yeah, big time. Huge. That's one of the majors.
That was the big concern, too, because the storm he's talking about was the way it was tracking the much more populated area. You know, Kokomo has about 50,000 people, so there was obviously a concern. But once it got past Kokomo, things kind of opened up a little more rural areas. But Indianapolis, that was a concern. Major population area,
sure.
You know, you've got a lot of wires, a lot more buildings, a lot more possibilities for debris. So amazing. Just amazing that so few people were injured.
Yeah, I was amazed. There was no injuries. Everybody was saying, only thing happened, it was a church's chicken. Catty corner from us, the part went off of the church's chicken. But that's the only thing that happened, majorly. Nothing else happened.
Grover, we always hear about the calm before the storm. Did you experience that before the tornado was that close to you? Was there that period of calm? No?
No, I didn't. It was just, I'll tell you one of probably the biggest surprising thing. I never seen so much rainfall once it passed over us. Tremendous amount of rain.
What
happened? Also surprising.
What happened immediately after? Because I've heard two tornadoes go by and all of a sudden the sun's out 20 minutes
yeah.
later.
Sometimes about 20 minutes later. That was true. That's true.
I remember that in Coal City, it was crazy that storm ripped through and then all of a sudden it's like, oh my goodness, you
like
know,
it
the
never
sun
happened.
Is I,
yeah.
well with the exception of
the destruction.
Right.
What Grover, that freight train noise that so many people that are close to tornadoes describe, did you get to hear that freight train sounding noise?
Yeah, it was nonstop. Like I said, I knew something was going on, but I thought it probably would stop. But it was continuous for the next 10 minutes, 15 minutes, just continuous, nonstop. And that's why I knew, hey, we got something's going on, some issues going on.
So what did you do when you said something's going on? What did you do? Did you go in a...
I looked up, and once it passed over me, at that point, I had a coworker outside. He was painting some safety stripes outside the store. It passed over me, and I told him to hurry up and get in for shelter. He came in. We stayed by the building. We stayed in the doorway of the building, but we got in because after that, like I said, short of that, it was pouring down rain.
We're glad you're okay.
Oh, yeah. I appreciate you. Thanks a lot.
And thank you for talking to us about it. We really appreciate it.
No problem.
Thank you, Grover. Have a great day.
Well, it's going to be better than yesterday.
Today will be a better day for Grover than yesterday for certain. Grover Edwards, again, a salesman at Best Mobile there in Indiana, where there was all kinds of destruction. There were all kinds of reports they were saying from the power companies that a lot of those houses are going to be without any kind of power for at least a week, they were saying.
Yeah, there were a couple hundred people that spent the night. There are a couple public housing units that really had a lot of damage in Kokomo as well as some other areas of Indiana. So a couple hundred people did spend the night at Red Cross shelters. They're obviously going to find some place to stay until roofs can get repaired and electricity can go back in. Now, the one thing I can tell you is that Governor Mike Pence, Indiana's governor, who is the vice presidential candidate right now in the Republican side, did jump off the campaign trail, did do his, you know, governor duties by going around touring and seeing some of the damage and not really making I don't get the impression that it was much of a political statement. I mean, he's
right.
That's part of his job.
Right.
But the fact that he is a political candidate or a vice presidential candidate, you know, maybe that'll, you know, generate more interest or at least more federal funds or more awareness of what happened. So maybe that will kind of expedite some of this as people try to, you know, piece their lives back together, because we've seen situations here in Illinois where there have been floods, there have been tornadoes, and you know there hasn't been much support, you know, at least at the federal level. So maybe there is something here that some good that'll come out of it.
Boy, you hope so, because I can't even imagine a situation like that where everything you have is just leveled within seconds. It would just be catastrophic.
That's all it takes.
Yeah, I know.
And one house can be touched, and the one right next door, nothing.
That's what I couldn't believe
that
in Coal
bizarre.
City. I mean, if you look at that Starbucks, too, there are buildings all around it, and that Starbucks went down like a house of cards. I mean, I don't know what it was made of. It might have been made of straw. You know, maybe everything else was made out of bricks, but there was no one in it, so it worked out great.
Ryan, I was telling Wendy, I was watching the news last night, and somebody was showing the pictures of the Starbucks and telling the story of the people who were in Starbucks, and the way they described it, they said the people who were in the Starbucks all went to the bathroom. They went inside the bathroom and they locked the door. And I said to Wendy, that's interesting, because you think about how powerful a tornado is, you would say to yourself, I'm not positive that a little lock would make a difference.
But you would think in your mind that it's going to help it stay closed when the winds are blowing.
Yeah.
You want to get away from the glass, obviously, that's key.
Flying debris.
And try to get in the safest spot. And, we always remember back when we were kids and, you know, at schools they tell us to go in the bathrooms or if there was a basement or maybe a more secluded gym or the center of the building. The problem that in a lot of these situations is it's not as cut and dry. You're not at your house. You're not at school. You know, you're driving. You know, you're somewhere, you know, that you haven't planned out, you know, what to do in a case of a storm. You're walking. You took the dog out and you're a mile away from your house. Now what do you do? So
find a low ditch. I remember talking to Tom Skilling fairly recently because the old news was go under a viaduct.
Don't go.
And now Tom says do not, because it's like a wind tunnel.
Yeah, and it sucks all that debris in.
Yes.
And
you're supposed to get out of your car. I suggested having a removable hood on your car where you could lay in a ditch and pull that hood on top of
like
you.
Like a shield, almost.
Yeah.
That's like Captain America.
Like, not unlike Captain America would use. Yeah.
He would fight it off. Though,
but,
right?
Right. Absolutely.
Go away, tornado.
So get out of your, in a situation like this, you want to leave your vehicle and get down into a ditch. Is what, that what I'm hearing?
Tom would be the one to talk to about that. I just, you know, you've got to constantly put in your mind, you know, I know what to do when I'm at home. I'll go into the basement, or I'll go into, you know, the bathroom, or when I'm at school, or when I'm at work. It's those kind of hairy situations where something happens, you know, when you're not in one
like
of those
here.
Locations.
What
yeah.
do we do here?
Right.
You know, there's glass. You get out of this room where there's glass, get into the center of the building, because if it collapses like that Starbucks did.
I'm hoping that the Tribune Tower doesn't collapse quite like that Starbucks did. Like I said, I don't know what that thing was made of, but.
Balsa wood. It went down in seconds,
it really did. I don't know what the facade was on that thing, but I mean,
that's
it looks
how
like
tornadoes
it just came
work.
Out. It is. It really is. Yeah.
All right. More on that. Thank you, Ryan. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Ryan.
More on this and a couple of other things before we get out of here. We're 312-981-7200. It's Bill and Wendy, WGN.
It's Bill and Wendy, tornado season, and it happened in Indiana yesterday. You know who's on the line with us, Bill?
It's our friend, longtime meteorologist Rick DeMaio. Hi, Rick. How are you?
I'm doing fine, guys. I know I don't have a lot of time here, but do you remember September 26, 2006? Do you remember what happened in the Chicagoland area?
Just a little bit, but go ahead, elaborate.
It was a tornado that basically came right through the north side. It basically stopped traffic on 294 right by O'Hare, and it literally developed off the lakefront right off of Loyola University. So this is kind of a wake-up call for people to realize that we're kind of getting back into the tornado season when you get a little bit more faster wind going through the upper levels of the atmosphere. We have one in May and June, and we begin to get to one in basically the middle time of, or you want to say the latter half of the summertime. That's pretty much where we are right now.
So, Rick, why the misconception? As we mentioned last night, you almost had one heading in through the Indianapolis region and the one you just talked about here in town. There's always been that misconception they can't hit you in a more urban area, but that's
Who
not true.
Who says that? That's so not
I've
true.
I've heard people say it, but it's not
yeah,
true.
Yeah, you know, it's so not true, but I just want to elaborate a little bit on what Ryan was talking about. This tornado that hit Kokomo was observed at 3:20. The tornado watch that went out from the Storm Prediction Center went out at 3:10.
Ooh, so that's pretty close.
That's Wendy, that's way too close.
Yeah.
This is one of those events. If you're a Storm Prediction Center forecaster, you kind of missed this. However, I don't know when the actual tornado warning went out from the local office out of Indianapolis. Most likely they put this out in maybe a good 10 to 15 minutes before this went out. But, you know, most of us were looking at the weather yesterday. The same thunderstorm complex that blew through the Chicagoland area yesterday morning, this was the same complex that re-energized into a supercell that actually hit Kokomo. This was not really predicted early in the morning. So when this did develop late morning, early afternoon, it was not really thought of an event that was going to be produced not only a tornado, but an F3 tornado from that standpoint. That's pretty significant.
And I know that whenever there's thunderstorms, funnel clouds can form from those. A couple of weeks ago, someone spotted a funnel cloud near Midway Airport. It never touched down to become a tornado, but it was like what did they call that, a spout, something?
They called it a land spout. And part of it was due to the fact that you had, you know, that low-level convergence zone that occurs due to the lake breeze. That's kind of a common thing that'll happen every once in a while. There was even some belief that there could have been a little bit of urban pollution that kind of got sucked up into that. Those things are not going to produce much damage other than maybe picking up a couple of small pieces of wood or paper. But I'm telling you, looking at that damage from that Starbucks, we got lucky, or at least I should say the people in Kokomo got lucky. So bottom line, if anybody hears a tornado warning, that's from the local National Weather Service office. You can actually have a warning without having a watch. That means that the storm is a very localized storm. But this was a major event. This produced 42 tornadoes. So from a standpoint of whether or not it was handled well by the National Storm Prediction Center, they'll even agree that this one was probably missed.
Whenever there's a thunderstorm or bad storms or dark clouds, I know you're supposed to keep your eyes to the skies, but I definitely do, because they can develop on a moment's notice, can't they?
Yeah, you know, yes and no on that. I think there's two schools of thought. A, they're probably moving really fast. B, you're not a good place to see them, or C, they're wrapped up in rain. This one was probably wrapped up in rain. You know, there's many different reasons for why or why they're not, you know, quote, observed. But two great meteorologists, Walker Ashley from NIU, as well as Stephen Strasburg, I'm messing up his name, just published a paper that shows now that the Tornado Alley is moving away from Oklahoma and Kansas and more into the Mid-South, or as they call it, the Tennessee Valley. That's been happening now for, you know, basically a couple of decades, and I think we're only realizing it now. And part of that, and part of that could be due to climate change, but there's still a lot of things to discuss, you know, beyond whether or not that's the main reason.
Rick, I know this probably can't be fully explained in a minute, but when the tornado is over, is it gradual or is it all within seconds? How does it just go away?
You know, it's kind of interesting, Bill, because even though there were 42 reports of touchdowns, there were probably only 6 tornadoes. So it probably lifted up, touchdown, lifted up, touchdown. Why it eventually goes away, boy, there's a whole bunch of reasons why. Loses in stability. The local environment doesn't allow the wind flow to remain cyclonic to a point where it can maintain that fuddle, or what you mentioned earlier, Wendy, that land spout. That's a whole another 60-minute lecture on the development and the dissipation of tornadoes. But in the end, this was an event where I think people had the right state of mind to know what they did or know what to do to keep themselves safe. And as Ryan mentioned, that structure went down. And, you know, Starbucks, it's very rare that you have a Starbucks with not a lot of people in it.
Yeah, that's true. And it's amazing to me that there were no deaths reported.
Right.
Or serious
Everybody
injuries.
Was safe. And they spelled tornado wrong, by the way, on the cup. How about that? In keeping with tradition over at Starbucks.
Well, remember, you had Dan Quayle as a senator from Indiana.
Right, with an E at the end of tornado.
Right. I do remember.
Rick, thank you so much.
Yeah, take care, guys.
Thanks, Rick. Rick DeMaio, everybody, longtime meteorologist here in town. We got to take a quick break, then we'll find out what Roe and Anna have coming your way next. Bill and Wendy, WGN. You'll feel better tomorrow.
Okay.
I'm positive you will.
Roe Khan's here.
Yes, I am.
Hello.
Hello.
You'll be using the same microphone as Wendy. How do you feel about that?
I'll bring my own windscreen.
I have one. I've got one that's gold.
Oh.
I've got that.
Of course you do.
It's from the Rush Trump collection.
Yes, wash your hands, although there's no soap here and there's no water since January. So you can't wash
your...
You'll be fine. What do you mean no water? I was flushing the toilet. What am I flushing
it
with?
No, it's a drink.
Oh, we have it now.
Is there water in there?
They've been keeping it from you.
Is there really water in there?
Yeah.
Whenever there's a guest, we have to run across the street and buy water for them.
I think you sound very sexy, Wendy. I think it's kind of a, you know.
You don't believe that, but we've had people texting in all day long.
Somebody wanted me to talk more slowly.
Right.
See, it's I'm sorry.
Brenda McCarroll.
There were comparisons to Susan St. James. People texted in saying,
McMillan and wife.
It's like listening to McMillan and wife.
Yeah, it is. Well. Yeah, that's exactly what I thought.
Are you McLeod then?
Yeah.
I'd be McLeod with the mustache and the hat.
Dennis Weaver.
Yeah, he was good.
He was the best.
All right, so what? I'd rather be Angie Dickinson. I'm just going to be honest with you.
All right.
Kerry Wood's going to be in the studio with us. He's got his deal. Do you know about this movie? You know about the Michelle and Barack Obama movie, right?
Southside something or other?
Yeah.
That's not the name of it.
Southside with You.
Yes.
Is the name of the film. Well, from the same people who brought you that, they're bringing you another.
Can't wait to hear what it is.
Campaign love story.
Oh,
yeah.
That'll be fun.
You
don't want to divulge yet.
Wait, don't call my house. My wife is home.
Is that the title?
Film? Yes.
That's a great title.
And I think you're really going to like it. And we got the fire department is playing News or Ruse today. We got News or Ruse.
Nice.
We got a lot of it. And Lori Lightfoot is going to be here. She's the Chicago Police Board boss. And what's happening there? And what holds in the future? What's the future of Rahm Emanuel?
Interesting.
Yeah, we'll find out about all of that. But thank you, Wendy. Rest your voice.
I will. No talking for the rest of the night. My husband just cheered.
you know, you threaten that, but it doesn't really work out.